The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
The quarterback, two receivers lined up to the left, one to the right. There's a flanker lined up to the left behind the quarterback. He gives the ball. No, he doesn't get the ball. The receiver goes all the way over there to the left. Once the quarterback has the ball, he fakes to the left. No, he fakes to the right. He doesn't fake. He thinks about faking. He pretends to fake.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's not like you could use a shower. Oh, listen, you can think what you want about my personal hygiene, but please don't waste any water. That's bad policy.
Paul Perillo.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.
And Andy. And Andy?
There, girl, you're seeing.
Seeing? I see a lot of girls. I see a lot of guys, too.
I think that's sexy. You ever been with a guy and a girl at the same time?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times. The other night, I was with my mama and Coach Klein at the same time.
Andy Hart.
And I like Mickey, and she likes me back. And she showed me her boobies, and I like them, too.
Eric Scalavino.
I want you to think about all those mean people. They're going to be your tackling fuel.
Tackling fuel.
We're going to use them to play football.
Tackling fuel.
For now, anyway.
Ooh, I'm a football player.
Coach, I'd like to tackle him right now, please.
Yes.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh, no! We suck again!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium, or is it?
That's not what Bill said.
Yeah.
Bill said it's Thursday.
But according to football schedules, it's Thursday. But
is it? Because we haven't had an injury report
Not according
yet.
To the injury report either.
But I don't want to confuse anyone. For all
I understand what you're talking about,
yeah,
Fred.
It's Wednesday here.
Well, we also have the problem. You confuse everyone on a daily basis because we have people in Australia. We have people everywhere.
Well,
that's true. It actually is Thursday. Yeah.
They know where we're coming from. And we're coming from a place where it is Wednesday at Gillette Stadium. And still getting ready for the Colts. Next game up is the hashtag on Twitter.
Yeah.
In case you want to talk about the game, let's keep that thing going. I like that expression, next game up. Really kind of typifies the whole season where it was next man up.
Mm-hmm.
So next game up.
It also typifies the Bill Belichick's philosophy.
Right, sure. As he told NFL
expressed.
Japan.
Yes, to right. NFL Japan, which I said, there's an NFL Japan.
Sure there
I
is.
I never knew that.
Oh, yeah.
They're here this week.
Yeah.
A couple reporters. I think they had
more
a
more importantly, film. Is Telemundo here?
No.
No.
Oh. Okay.
Didn't see any.
That was TV Azteca, I thought.
Yeah,
TV Azteca. TV Azteca.
Yeah. TV ass tights in the pants.
Azteca.
I'd like to get up in that Azteca.
Okay. See, again, we're all thinking it. Why do you have to say it? All right.
No filter.
Webradio at Patriots.com.
Can we talk about the injury report now?
Not yet. I'm giving out the numbers. Webradio at Patriots.com. It's the email address, 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline, and 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number. What's your problem with the injury report?
There wasn't one.
It's stupid.
The game is Saturday, so therefore, as Bill Belichick said, and you just said, we're a day ahead. Yesterday was Wednesday,
right?
Except there was no injury report.
Right.
So do you care that injury information could get out there on the most important day of the week of practice, mm-hmm. the first big practice day of the week, or do you not care? Do you worry about gambling? Do you worry about the fact that somebody here might have seen
right.
Aaron Dobson or Logan Mankins limping, or do you not care?
And here's what makes it
and
even
the U, I'm
more
talking
stupid.
The league.
Right, and here's what makes it even more stupid. If the team were playing on Monday night, they would slide their practice schedule to Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Because that would be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Correct. And the practice report would come out Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Right.
But because they're playing on a Saturday,
there's
they don't slide the practice report to coincide with Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday
right.
practice.
Idiotic.
They're going to make the Patriots and Colts put out an injury report on Friday on a day that they don't
walk
practice.
Through. Right.
Right. Idiotic.
I agree.
And it's been that way for years.
I don't know why they didn't
And
do
those
that.
Geniuses on Park Avenue haven't fixed the stupid rule.
Do we know? So
it's Eric
fixed the stupid rule.
In previous years, you know, because we've always had these playoff games on Saturdays, is this the first time they've done that, or do they always do
it
this way?
They've been doing it this way for years, and it's moronic.
Yeah.
It needs to be fixed.
It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. Because legitimately, if you care, if you think someone could see something on a Wednesday that could somehow influence gambling, and
right.
then why didn't they
if,
see
if
it?
If it is that important, then they should slide it, like you guys say.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
The fact that they slide it for one and not the other is the really stupid part. If you weren't going to slide it at all, then fine. That's your rule. You want it on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, fine. Be consistent.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure those, the geniuses in the
why don't you tweet
in the league office will have some explanation for this.
And call him the moron or the idiot.
Yeah, I'm sure they have some explanation why in a Saturday game. They don't, but, you know, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
So we don't know.
Yeah. We don't know the practice.
You know, I'm guessing they're all limited in practice.
Yeah. I mean, do we, at this point, though, I mean, it's good to rant. You're right. You're right in your argument. But in for what we are talking about, do we really care?
Anybody we care about was limited in practice.
Right.
That's what they'll
at
be.
The very least.
Right.
Except Dobson, who I'm assuming was didn't practice.
He hasn't.
Out there. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't really need it, but I just, the lack of consistency is.
Yeah, it's. You know, for a league that tries to make everything so black and white and all that and have these rules, and it just doesn't make sense.
Nope.
You know?
But so, speaking of practice, Aaron Dobson was the only one that wasn't out there in uniform. So as Andy said, all the other guys you can assume were at the very least limited.
Or full.
Or full.
Right. Okay.
Brady, does he avoid getting on there with the sniffles? He's got
a little bit of a cold.
I just thought he was being like you, Brady.
Yeah, could be. It could be catching up.
Playoffs.
And for those who visited Patriots.com today, I think you were treated to a nice little video.
You were.
That was done by Ray Ray and The Missing Link down in KSP.
Who's The Missing
Link? Who's The Missing
Link? She's the editor that did it.
Oh, Linky. Yeah.
I call her The Missing Link. Mm.
Oh.
Is that offensive?
Well, she said
that is kind of
a caveman.
No, she likes it. She said that they
the
call
the link from the monkey.
She said they call her Sausage Link, and she doesn't like that. So I said, "What about?" I said, "What about the Missing Link?" She goes, "Oh, I like that." So it's Ray Ray and the Missing Link did the video.
I like it. What is the video?
Very well done.
It's all about the adversity and quotes from, and you know, obviously video that.
Oh, one of
like
those
a little trailer.
Those.
It's
like a movie trailer,
it's a playoff preview.
Yeah.
You know?
So
I like those. I like when they did it last year, and the NFL does them occasionally. I like those.
Yeah.
They give you that feeling, like even a game you don't really care about, all of a sudden you care about it when you're done watching those.
And it's nicely done. It's good stuff.
Yep.
Is Ray Ray in it?
No. Would be even better.
Eh, I'm not watching.
Oh, boy.
It would be even better, but, you know, that would just be blatant.
What else do we have? We learned that one of the Patriots AFC East rivals fired their GM last night.
Yes.
Jeff Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
So that reign of error is over
The
Dolphins.
That's good.
Well done, Fred. Yeah. Good job.
But
they also got rid of Sherman a day or so early.
Yeah.
So, you know, that whole tie between the quarterback who was his offensive coordinator and, you know, that's all broken up, too.
I thought it was a little bit comical, though, that as soon as the news broke that Ireland was fired, all these media experts, you know, were putting in their names for who would be the good replacement. You know, this guy would be great. And, you know, if they don't look at this guy, they're making a big mistake. It's like kingmakers, you know. And also probably.
Who are you talking about with that tweet?
Giving up their sources, you know.
I happen to see that one.
Who was
it? And it rankled me, too.
Yeah. Breer or Rapoport?
No, it was. I counted half a dozen guys who immediately gave their opinion on who should be the next
and
GM.
I have, see, I have no problem with that. But Greg, you know, he used to cover the Dolphins, so he knows. I think Jeff Gain, I think, was the guy's name.
Brian Gain.
Brian Gain. Okay. Yeah. That was the guy.
There was another guy, Omar Khan or something.
Well, he's from Pittsburgh.
He's the guy who's putting them in cap hell.
That's right. Yeah, he has.
Right.
That would be a horrific,
Gain,
well,
I
good for
guess,
the Patriots.
But. You know, so Greg worked, you know, he covered the Dolphins, so he knows that organization pretty well. And this must be one of those guys that, you know, is a
source,
you know, okay, I wasn't going to be so blatant about it, but he's a guy that Greg knows. But to me, Fred's right. You're a media guy, and you say, if they don't give it to him, just put a three-ring circus on the whole thing, I think was the tweet that he put out there. Really? Like, there's no other guy in the history of the world that's qualified to be the GM of the Dolphins other than Brian?
Brian
Gain? That's the only guy? I just, you know. By all means, you want to recommend a guy. This guy would be a good hire. This guy, fine, whatever. But if you don't hire this guy, just put a three-ring circus over the whole thing.
And weren't there talk that Carl Peterson could get it because he's tight with Stephen Ross?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, now that you say that, I wouldn't be surprised.
You saw what Freddie tweeted out.
No.
You know, so Fred is anti, you know, the guys that are actually looking for logical candidates. Fred's, I think, suggested that either Fergie or the Williams sisters will be taking over. Right?
Right. That's correct.
That is correct. I don't want to misquote you.
I said they've narrowed it down to Fergie or the Williams sisters.
And Fred was very happy with himself.
And James Pettigrew tweeted to me that he understands that the BCS computer is now available, and maybe that can be the GM.
I like yours. Replacing one boob with a couple others.
Is their cover going to be Jeff Fireland?
Oh,
I see what you did there.
Yeah. So, yeah, they've got some problems over there down in Miami. But one person said, I think it was Ben Voland, said that this is a highly desirable job, being the GM of the Dolphins. Well, I don't know why that's any more desirable. All right, you get to live in Florida, but you're working 40 hours a day. So, yeah, I mean, you don't really, it's not like you get to enjoy the beach while you're there. While
40
you're
hours
down
a day.
You know?
I love the way you just said that.
You know, so I don't know why it's any more desirable right. than any other.
I agree.
There's GM job.
I think GM jobs in general are pretty desirable.
It's you like know, they always say, there's only 32 of them.
Well, there's only 32 of them, and there's only maybe two or three of them that you would say, well, I wouldn't want that one. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be the GM of Oakland, you know?
Or Washington, the Redskins.
Redskins, yeah. But there's not many of those.
Right. Like
the Dolphins, okay, they're not one of those.
Right.
Okay, yeah, I agree.
Right.
And you're right. I mean, yeah, you're living in a great place, but you can't enjoy it.
Right. You know, you're stuck in in an office all day, every day, or on
you
the
might
phone.
Might have a window.
Might have a window.
So you got
might
that
be able
going
to see
for you.
Some water and
as
some
a GM,
sun.
Though, could you conduct business from the beach?
Heck
the type
yeah.
of business you have to do? You
couldn't get any respect, but
right.
you probably could. You set up a cabana with like a video machine.
Yeah.
I'm going to go take a dip while I get back to this film.
Why not?
Oh, man, I'd be like, oh, I got sand in my Arlads book. All right. What else do we got? Anything else you want to talk about before we get into
it looks
this
like
game?
Philbin, by the way, is probably going to stay.
Yeah.
I hope so.
That was the last part of that. But.
Can the GM, can the OC? I got to think the coach
well,
is
I think I think that finally getting rid of Ireland helps Philbin. I mean, I think that he's a thorn in Philbin's side. You know, I think any time in these GMs, it's all about self-preservation. And I'm sure that, you know, as soon as something's going bad, they're blaming it on the coach. Because, God forbid, they blame it on the personnel that they give the coach. So it's...
That is true. That's a dynamic that works in probably in most of the cities. When it doesn't go well, you know.
I gave him the guys.
The GM guy can't
coach
say,
him.
The GM guy can't say, well, you know, he doesn't really have a lot to work with.
So. Right.
A couple of things I thought were interesting from, well, one from
John
Bill's presser.
You know, Rex did a great job. I gave him nothing.
Let's just look at the roster. I mean, he's really got like
20 one other thing I wanted to mention before, Eric, hold that thought. Sean Payton came out and said that, you know, he absolutely believes that Rob Ryan someday will be a head coach. Okay, that's the first step to being out the door. So why do you start talking about that? So he's sick of Rob Ryan.
He's been analyzing all these comments by all these
teams.
He
obviously wants somebody to go hire Rob Ryan so he doesn't have to fire him.
Oh, I don't think he's going to be fired.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't either.
Not after that turnaround.
No, but I'm sure he's sick of Rob Ryan.
Can you imagine Dallas putting forth the defense that the Saints did this year?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
Because that would be the turnaround.
Yeah,
from the worst defense of all time to that.
That's why he's having a hard time. He can't stand the guy. But
why do you think he can't stand him?
He's a tough guy to work with.
How do you know?
I know.
You're okay. Insane. It's funny. He worked with Bill.
Yeah. He did.
Didn't,
it's true.
Yeah.
They didn't show him the door.
Yes, they did.
No, they didn't.
No, Fred. No, Fred. No, Fred.
I'm just telling you, they didn't.
This is radio. Don't be making faces.
Eric, what did you have to say?
I was going to say two things that I thought were interesting. First, well, Bill at his presser today was asked about Deion Branch signing with the Colts and whether or not, in general, a player signing with an opponent the week that they're playing them, if that has any benefit to the team or if it's, you know, a detriment to the team that lost him. And I thought it was interesting that Bill said what I think most of us think, and that it makes zero difference.
Way overrated.
Way overrated, was the way he worded it.
Especially when he's so far removed.
That was part of his point, too. Yeah. But also that a lot of times a player comes in and
misinformation,
they do this or that, and then on game day it turns out that they've changed it.
Right.
And it's not. That's not the case at all.
Right.
So I thought that was pretty interesting because all the talking heads were saying, oh, the Colts obviously signed Branch to get information.
The only thing I can say that he might help out is, you know, we've always said that he was very close in terms of on-field communication with Brady. So if he knows the Brady tells and what Tom looks for and things like that, that could be helpful. Not necessarily calls, but, you know, when he sees this, Brady usually does that. He could give him that.
I don't know. I still think it's tiny.
Yeah, and I think the fact that Bill is poo-pooing it, I think
who gives you that is your low-level scouting guy who breaks down every single play and gives you every...
Or it could confirm what the low-level scouting guy said, which, you know...
But I generally think of most of the stuff, you get off film. You get off tendencies. You get off of all that.
Yeah.
I would even add in, if the Colts defense was the same as the one that Brady has gone against so many times, I could even say, well, this is what we used to do to you. You know, this is, you know, when you used to show this, we would go to that, and we had a lot of success with it. But this is not even the defense that Tom Brady has gone against. They played last year. All different players were there. It was a whole different kind of situation.
Yeah.
And Pagano wasn't even really involved at that time because he was still sick.
Yep.
And this is just really very little to me tactically to be gained. I think it's a very minor part of it. And
I'd be more worried that he catches a touchdown than I would be worried that he gives them a victory. And I don't think he's going to even play. That's how little I think of the espionage.
I don't think he's going to play either.
Yeah, I don't either, but I think there's a greater fear of him catching a touchdown and humping the crowd.
There was somebody on ESPN saying that they were expecting him to get like 12 snaps during the game or something. Well, I don't know where they came up with that number.
It's possible. I don't know.
I would be stunned if he plays. I'd be stunned if he's active.
Stunned,
well, he might have to be active because my guess is that Heyward Bey was active last week, but he didn't play. And
he's a fast healer.
They've already said that he will not be able to play. So
I thought Chuck Pagano said he's a fast healer.
Yeah, I thought they said that he was going to be out a week or two. They said after the game. So I think that might be gamesmanship on Pagano's part.
Yeah.
So if Heyward Bey is active, then I agree with Andy. I don't think there's any chance that Branch is active because the other guys are going to, Brazil and Waylon and Hilton are going to be active.
Yeah.
So how many wide receivers are you going to have active? By the way, that can't play.
Right.
Well, so, even Bill said that today, which was rare. If Luck had his druthers, I'm sure he'd throw to Hilton. Basically saying, that's the guy he wants to throw
to all
the
time. And I forgot about Rodgers.
Derek.
Derek.
Right?
Yeah.
So yeah, Rodgers, Brazil, and Waylon are probably all going to be active. If Heyward Bey is active, I don't know if you can have that many more.
Yeah.
Quick update from one of our listeners. Remember when somebody called us chooch balls yesterday?
Yeah.
Cooch balls or something?
Yeah.
They were calling us donkey balls.
Oh, okay.
That's what that means. And the guy said,
it was everybody but you. We were all chooch balls.
Yeah, we were all chooch balls. You weren't a chooch ball.
Chooch balls and Eric, someone said.
So you're not donkey balls.
Okay. Good to know.
So you got a fan. I just thought I'd let you know.
Who was that?
I mean, you don't really want to be donkey balls, do you?
Who was it?
It wasn't a
woman. That called us that?
No. It wasn't a woman. Yeah.
Is that why you were asking?
No, I'm just curious, but it's a good point by Fred. The other thing that I found notable in Bill that I'm forgetting now, definitely the way overrated.
Yeah,
I got nothing. Go ahead.
Okay. All right.
He emptied the tank on the injury report.
CTE.
Open locker room is at 1 o'clock today?
Yes.
We'll be here.
Did you guys have the transactions yesterday before the end of the show?
No, we didn't.
Well, we had the Reggie Dunn, but we didn't have
What's
it, Jagarrett?
Jagarrett Davis. Yeah, promoted.
So we have LeGarrette and Jagarrett.
Yes.
Well, not it. Id. Jagarrett.
Jagarrett?
Yeah. With a D.
Yeah. I call LeGarrette now.
He was promoted off the practice squad.
That's his new name.
Oh, boy.
Cigarette Boy.
We also have another guy with a first name that has an apostrophe in it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't have enough of those.
Yeah. We're going into contractions.
We also have two Davises now on the active roster. Canoris.
When was Laquan Williams here?
Early mid-season.
I had to delete him from my follow today because he was just clogging up my timeline.
Is that right?
I was like, who is this guy?
You have to create a list. That's
what I'm
trying
to do lists.
They're very easy, and you can do it from the website.
Eric puts me on lists so he doesn't have to follow me.
Is that right?
Well, think your Twitter feed is like a highway.
Yeah.
Like a one-lane highway. If you follow everybody that you want to follow,
right.
All of that traffic goes through that one-lane highway.
That's correct.
So to to alleviate some of that tension, you create lists. And by just basically
which
like
you now all have to check though. You have to check those lists.
You do. But yeah. But each list has fewer
right.
tweets to look at.
Yes.
So like if you wake up in the when I wake up in the morning, I check my NFL list to see if there's news from overnight that I may have missed or whatever. And that timeline is a lot shorter than my regular timeline, which would normally have, you know, hundreds of missed tweets.
Right. Right.
So you can quickly go through the NFL list and
but I would
get up to speed quicker.
Yeah.
And so if you create several of those lists, then you only have a few tweets to go through right. each time you want to find out about that
particular
thing.
Do you notice the Twitter on iPad acts kind of weird? Like, let's say you haven't checked your Twitter feed on your iPad for a day. You go in there and you'll see, oh, you know, 2 minutes ago, 3 minutes ago. Then all of a sudden it goes to one day ago.
Yeah.
You notice that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it contracts.
Yeah.
It does that on the phone too.
No, but it's a little different on Twitter.
Yeah, I think it is a little different.
Yeah, I mean on iPad. It's, I don't know. Anyway, getting into social media stuff. Next game up, hashtag.
And you can win something with that, right?
No. Oh, yeah.
There's a raffle.
Well, the Patriots have a big VIP sweepstakes going on right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, that's different from next game up. But it's.
Oh, I thought it was all wrapped under one umbrella.
Well, I mean, the whole theme of the playoffs is next game up.
Should be.
Yeah.
It's all that matters.
So you can win a
the
VIP
Colts,
package
the
to this game,
The Colts hashtag
right?
is time to shine. That's their hashtag.
Okay. I don't like it.
I don't either.
I don't like hashtags.
You don't like hashtags? That's the new...
Hashtag, I don't like hashtags.
Pound symbol. Yeah,
hashtag,
pound.
I don't like hashtags.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like, hashtag, sorry, I'm not sorry. You know, like everybody else writes but for everything.
He hates everything. He literally hates everything.
If it's not an Italian sub or a pepperoni calzone,
he hates it.
Or his children.
In all seriousness, I'm not a big... I'm not a big Twitter fan.
For emphasis.
You like the Twitter.
Not really.
No?
That's why I don't tweet.
He doesn't like anything.
You tweet. I've seen you tweet.
Yeah, very, very rarely.
You tweet at least once a day.
Yeah, I bet you if you counted that up, it would be the vast majority would be retweets of.
Well, yeah,
things.
But I consider a retweet a tweet.
Okay, yeah. Then I tweet all the time. Then
you're active on Twitter
because when I see like Adam Schefter breaking news about the Patriots, because no one around here does. There you go, Andy.
Hashtag shot.
I retweet it.
Check.
Hashtag check.
Yeah, hashtag check.
Yeah, we need to create a check instead of a hashtag.
Hashtag check.
Maybe
I'll start doing that.
That would be funny.
So the Colts are really looking forward to this matchup. They think, at least the media, they think that this is a favorable matchup for the Colts. And I guess, you know, if the option was coming here or going to Denver, I could see where they would think that. But
certainly. I think they have a questionable secondary. And why would you ever want to go towards the best offense, the best passing game or anything? You know, I think there's still some doubts about this passing game. You know, what it's going to be, how they're going to work it.
I mean, we talked about it on our TV show a little bit yesterday, but really, you know, we're still dealing with, if it's not Edelman, who is it at this point? You know, they're really, and, you know, the weather was a factor in the last game, but that is something we need to think about. Dobson's hurt. You know, Boyce is gone. Tompkins has not been a factor at all.
He may have to be.
He may have to be, but he hasn't been a factor at all. Vereen in the passing game has been limited. So, really, where you know, other than Edelman, Amendola gets two catches a game. You know, so
he says that with like he did have a big game 3 games ago. Was that 3 games ago where he had the 10 for 130 or whatever? Yeah, Miami lost.
Yeah,
probably a bad example because they lost.
Well, he also had the touchdown that should have been
right.
Yeah. So, but.
Could have been.
There is questions about the passing game, legitimate questions.
Yes.
We don't know what it's going to be going into this game, which gets us back to, well, you know, thank goodness that the running game seems to be reborn here, you know?
So are you counting on the running game?
I am, absolutely.
I am too,
me too.
Actually.
Where if, you know, if they don't have at least 140 yards rushing, they lose the game. I think
when he makes definitive statements,
I think they're going to have to
sniff.
Well, but I also think if they win the game, they'll probably have 140 yards rushing. So
I think they're going to have to lean on the rushing game. I really do.
Yeah, and you know, Pagano was raving about the rushing game, the backfield, Blunt, Rid, as he called him, which kind of jumped out at me that an opposing coach just called him a Rid for Stephen Ridley, Vereen, and that committee approach. He was raving about what they how they kind of just roll them through there and get production out of those backs.
It's, you know, every year we say, what are they going to do with five running backs? Well, every year they seem to need five running backs,
yeah,
at least. So, you know, and, you know, I wrote, give Nick Caserio credit for keeping that stockpiled. I'm assuming he's the personnel guy that gets these guys for the running backs.
Can I play devil's advocate like I am wont to do?
Sure.
I am with you wholeheartedly.
I am not one of the guys that ever has even thought about saying, what are they going to do with five running backs? And I don't think there's a tremendous amount of that, but you're right. There are some people that say, how can they keep Blunt? You know,
right.
He's one of your best players. It's easy to keep him. You know, Sammy Morris, that crew back in the day, to me, very easy, but they didn't really need these five guys this year. I mean, Leon Washington did nothing. Brandon Bolden's done very, very little. They've relied on Ridley, Blunt, and Vereen.
I think that, you know, it didn't work out, but I think there was a time where they needed Bolden back.
He played, but they certainly
out of necessity, I would say.
But what my point is, he did very little.
Yeah,
and you could have,
but they
carried
him
on in the, well, because they chose to play him.
No, because they had to at back in Cincinnati. I think everybody was banged up.
Blunt played in that game, and he fumbled.
It was Blunt and Bolden. That was it.
But he fumbled. If he doesn't fumble,
yeah, I'm not saying that
you don't need Bolden.
I'm not saying that. I think
my point. I don't think that you needed to have all of those five guys because I don't think your depth was ever really stretched at that position. That was the one position going into the season that we all said, aside from running back, there's some depth concerns on this roster. But running back wasn't one of them, and they stayed remarkably healthy at running back.
No,
Marine's really the only guy that missed discernible time with an injury.
The only guy that, you know, but I think they needed all five guys at some point or another.
Okay.
I did.
I did start it by saying, because I largely agree with your point, so I was playing devil's advocate.
Yeah.
I do agree with you. I think everybody that wonders, why do you need five running backs, doesn't watch the NFL. There's a couple of teams that have guys like Jamaal Charles and LeSean McCoy and, you know, obviously Adrian Peterson,
right,
that
don't get hurt.
They don't need five guys.
For the most part, yeah.
Because if their guy goes down, they're in trouble.
Right.
But most teams have, you know, like the Colts. The Colts have used, you know, all their guys this year. They lost Vic Ballard. They lost Ahmad Bradshaw. They wanted to be, like we said yesterday, you know, kind of a power running team, and they had to sort of just change that on the fly because
yep,
their top two running backs got hurt.
Right.
But they still had Donald Brown. They went and made a trade for Trent Richardson that absolutely did not work out for them.
Bombed.
So, you know, I just think that asking how are you going to use four or five running backs? Everybody does.
Yeah. But the flip could also be said. I mean, we don't know that Stephen Ridley couldn't have, you know, carried it 290 times.
Well, that's
again
kind
like
of my that's kind of my point. Like they didn't really need five running backs. Leon Washington was never a part of the picture.
They may have needed him, but
they may have because of the fumbles. You know,
no, but he would have had to play,
not because
and you would
of
have
injury.
Had to gone quicker into working his way out of it.
He's
worked his way out of it.
Right.
You may not have had the
but
luxury
by having
of
this,
benching him.
Exactly, by having this luxury,
it was definitively a luxury.
Yeah.
It may have been a need. You don't know whether it would have been a need. It didn't look really like it was a need.
Yeah.
That's
kind of what I was trying to say. It was a luxury more than they didn't
need
that
said,
guys.
He could have blown out his ACL in week three and we would have said, oh, they got no running backs.
And then you could have gotten Brandon Bolden, which is kind of my point. Like those guys
yeah, but
are
Bolden
always available.
Had a bad knee all year. I mean,
no, but what I'm saying a Brandon Bolden guy would always be available to sign.
Mike Cloud. Robbie Abdullah.
Where I don't even know what you've done with yourself.
What?
Coming up with names like that out of nowhere?
I wouldn't count on it for the rest of the show.
That was good. CTE boy, that's good stuff.
No, don't joke about that.
That's my excuse.
I know, but that's not something. You shouldn't joke about
you
it.
You don't know that I don't.
No, I'm saying him. He shouldn't
joke
about
it. No, I know, but I might have CTE.
I know.
I don't know
you
definitively
joke
about that thing
and
that you said before the show either, but I'm still going to say it.
Maybe I'm joking about it because I have CTE. It affects everything you do brainularly.
Loser.
Fred, we're on radio.
I was going to say something, but, you know. Anyway.
I can hold the record.
Can you imagine what he was going to say that he decided to filter himself?
I don't know why he would. I could have the record for the most CTE, because given my head size,
right,
there's more room for CTE.
Yes. Yeah, elephantitis.
Speaking of which.
Yeah.
When I ran this morning, my testicles were so far up inside.
Oh, my God.
Like, it was like I had nothing. When I got back, I was so cold. I've never felt like that. You know, the whole Seinfeld shrinkage thing? I felt like I had nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I've never been that cold in my life in that area. It was ridiculous.
Okay.
Who thinks
like
that?
Were you running nude?
No, I had my normal, I had pants on, I had like spandex pants underneath the pants that I wear.
Yeah.
Who's yelling?
How far did you run this morning?
Just four.
4 miles?
Yeah.
That's good.
But I was cold. It was chilly. No
it's
wind.
Actually, there's a point where it's really not good for you to run when it's really, really cold.
Probably when it's 6 degrees.
You know,
what is that point? Yeah. Someone might want to tell me that.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten any emails from anybody telling me that.
I haven't seen, there is a couple of people that I always see when I'm leaving my house, and I haven't seen them the last few days. I just assumed it was too cold.
I've run when it's in the 20s and teens, actually.
Yeah, I haven't noticed anything. I mean, I'm a little cold, but I layer up and just go do my thing.
Josh in Sydney writes in, during yesterday's show, Fred was reading someone's email and almost made the mistake and nearly pronounced Bill Polian's name correctly.
Yeah, said, I remember that.
Bill Poli, and then he said Polian. It almost makes it seem like the mispronunciations are on purpose. Between Devin McCurdy, Polian, and Blount, now I don't know the right way, Blount, this is why the fans love Fred. And with or without Manning, I still hate the Colts. Do you hate the Colts?
I do not.
I don't
hate anybody.
There's no reason for me to hate the Colts.
I didn't have
the Lions gone. You know, the reason I hated the Colts was Polian. Not Manning. Polian.
You called Manning a penis head.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't hate him.
It's a term of endearment.
He has a deformity.
Well, he does
also
love
said
penises.
He looks, you know.
Nobody Googles penises more than Fred.
You know,
I feel bad for him that he's deformed, but
you call someone
hate
a deformed penis head, Fred. It generally means you don't like them.
No. It's just being honest.
It's not nice.
So, but that's just the way he is.
Do you hate Jim Irsay?
Not really, no.
I think he's a clown.
I think he's a clown, too.
I don't think he's hateable.
Clown, but he's not hateable. He's like Mark Cuban. I don't hate him.
You don't respect him, though.
Oh, I
you?
Like Mark Cuban.
I'm fine with him.
I don't really have a lot of owners that I mean, like Jerry Jones is really obnoxious. Snyder, those types. But I don't think owners are really hateable.
Woody Johnson with that cap. You're a freaking billionaire in a suit. You're walking around with a baseball cap on.
That's different to me.
What is that?
I have a pathological hatred for the Jets.
Yeah.
The Jets and the Dolphins. The Dolphins mostly, but the Jets are close second.
What is that? Take the cap off.
The Bills were never relevant
enough
for me to hate.
That's my signature, a baseball cap. Well, you're a boob.
He just called Woody Johnson a boob. He called a Johnson a boob.
Oh, that's good.
Joshua in South Dakota, I think, or San Diego, one or the other. As a Pats fan,
big difference.
Oh, it clears it up. As a Pats fan in San Diego, I was stunned how.
Now we can move on. I was worried we'd never get that cleared up.
I was stunned how quickly you guys counted out the Chargers on your show Monday. We didn't have a show Monday.
So. Yeah, it's probably EEI.
Anyway, given that Manning,
I count them out.
I do too.
I don't count them out against the Broncos. I count them out of being a good team.
I think
Manning could choke and they could lose.
Given that Manning has the NFL record for most one and done playoff games, 8, Rivers is 6-2 at Mile High, and Rivers is 2-0 against Manning in the playoffs. I think Denver is the underdog this weekend, not San Diego. I'm optimistic we'll host Chargers for the AFC Championship and defeat them to head to the Super Bowl after we beat the Colts this weekend.
You should be optimistic. You're a fan. Your team is hot. That's fine.
I kind of agree with him. I mean, I know it's tough in this league to beat any team twice in a season, even a division opponent that might be weak. But I think that, you know, the Chargers have a chance in Denver. And they've proven this year that they can do it. That's what troubles me a little bit, is that they've already done it once. And to ask them to do it second time
tough.
In Denver.
I mean, you got to give the Chargers credit. They've had a good season. They played teams tough. But I just look at it and I think they're limited talent-wise.
That's one of those things, too. You know, Eric just said they have already beaten them, and that kind of the whole thing about, you know, beating the same team multiple times, three times if you have to beat. And I always say, if I have my choice, I'd like to be the team that won the two games and have to beat them the third
you're
time.
You're better.
But doesn't this prove it? Like everybody's saying, like, well, the Chargers just beat the Broncos; they could do it again. So no one thinks that they can't beat them the second time.
Right.
So why, you know, so that's obviously giving the Chargers a better chance to win. So why does everybody get so worried about the team that beat them? Like, if they had to play Kansas City,
right,
they had beaten the Chiefs twice. Tough to beat a team three times. Not if you're better.
Right.
Not if you're better. I would rather, you know, if I were the Broncos, I would rather be playing the Chiefs today than the Chargers.
Sure.
Who just beat you 25 days ago in your home stadium.
That's like a lot like Bill's response to how hard is it to get the momentum back when the other team takes the momentum. And he said, depends how good you are and depends how good they are.
Right.
If they have Where do they come up with these
if
questions?
If they have a suffocating defense, then you're screwed. You know?
It was a weekend at the Improv.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Pat,
you're the best coach that's ever walked the planet. How do you get the momentum back? That guy?
Yeah.
Pat Agawam.
You invented the forward pass.
What matchup would you guys consider to be more detrimental to a win on Saturday night? Julian Edelman versus the Colts secondary or T.Y. Hilton versus our secondary?
More
detrimental to a win. I don't know what that means. What would hurt winning?
What would hurt?
The chances of winning more.
The Hilton one. Right?
Or who has the better matchup? Colts secondary against Edelman or our secondary against Hilton?
Oh, Hilton's more dangerous. Yeah. I don't really get the question, but Hilton's more dangerous.
Hilton's definitely more dangerous.
I think Edelman will catch more passes, but Hilton's more dangerous.
If both guys go nuts,
then the Patriots are in trouble.
Yeah. Right.
Because Hilton's nuts is a couple long touchdowns, big plays.
Right.
Bill said he's an every level receiver.
Edelman's nuts is like, 10 yards a catch. No offense to Julie.
But I would expect Edelman to catch more passes than Hilton. Saturday.
Yes.
Yeah.
I actually am fearing Fleener more than I am Hilton right now, just because I think they're gonna target Hilton.
Right.
They're gonna have a lot focused on Hilton. Fleener, I think, is a pretty good player.
Yeah,
and
I do too.
You know, he's got a little luck thing with him.
I'll say on that matchup too, I thought it was interesting that Luck, every time he had Fleener one on one with Eric Berry, he jumped on that matchup. Like, that was a matchup he knew he could win. Now, Eric Berry is a really good safety.
He's very good.
So,
I use that a lot.
You know, I don't know if he is.
Not all it's cracked up to be.
Nope.
Not considered to be as great in coverage, or if they just like the matchup with Fleener. You know, if they thought that doesn't matter who's covering him, he can win that one on one matchup. So, I could see that. I could see them getting some production out of Fleener in that game, especially in the red zone.
Taken to the Fleeners?
Oh, that's a good
one. Get taken to the Fleeners?
Well,
on Read and React.
You know, well.
React?
CTE.
Alex from Philly writes in, two choke jobs down and two more to go to the Super Bowl. I may be guilty of grossly underestimating the Colts, but I think this is the best possible matchup for the Patriots. Even though the Chiefs and Bengals are choking dogs, I still didn't want to see them. I don't think the Colts are very talented or do anything particularly well, kind of like the Patriots, not that talented and doesn't do anything particularly well, but play great complementary football and has a great quarterback that can carry the load. I'm not completely dismissing the Colts like Andy
is. So they're the same team.
Yeah, but I don't think that it will be a last-minute nail-biter game like many have been this season. Lastly, I don't understand why fans are up in arms about Branch. I like Deion, but he was a corpse the last time he was in the Patriots uniform. And with the transformation this offense went through this year, what valuable intel could he give? I think Pagano already knows Brady likes throwing to Edelman.
I really enjoyed the email, especially the part where he said they're not very talented and don't do anything particularly well. Kind of like the Patriots.
Well, then why are you so confident?
Yeah, I know.
JD in New York City, the forecast is looking like Peyton Manning will avoid his kryptonite this weekend and not have to play in freezing cold weather. That's a bummer. Anyway, wanted to see if you guys agree with me that the Broncos could be susceptible to coming out a little flat. Besides the bye week, the Broncos ended up the season by playing the Texans and Raiders and haven't faced serious competition in almost a month. I'm more hoping than thinking they come out flat, but some symptoms are there that could lead the Broncos to having trouble matching the Chargers' intensity at the start of the game.
It's always a fear coming out of the bye. You're a little flat.
Sure. With the Patriots, too.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say I don't have any more fear of the Broncos coming out flat than I do the Patriots. They finished the season with Buffalo. So what was that? Is that any different than Oakland for them?
Right. And the Texans game was kind of tight, actually. Houston kind of gave them a little run up front.
Yeah, they gave them a little bit of trouble for a while, and then they blew doors off in the fourth quarter.
Right.
Eric, Scott added me to his list, Patriots.
Yeah, see, there you go. I'll show you how to do it later.
But is it valuable on my phone or only
yes.
on...
Yes, I do it. I use it on my phone all the time. Whatever you put on your main Twitter account will show up on your phone Twitter account, too.
Yeah, but what do you get out of having it all separate like that?
So then when you're looking at one list, you know, all the content is of one type and it's less.
Yeah, but see, Eric has, I'm just assuming this, you probably follow a lot of like news stuff.
I have a news.
Like a real news
feed. Yes, I have a news feed. I have an NFL feed.
As you know, I know nothing about anything but sports.
You're just using
it
for sports.
Right.
But it's also helpful, like, if you just want an NFL feed. Right,
Northeastern.
You just want a Northeastern feed, right?
No,
if you want to filter
really,
it,
basically, my follow is
Northeastern feed. Will be very slow.
It's just an NFL feed. That's all I have. Is I follow all the national NFL guys and all our local beat guys. I have one or two. I like Buster Olney for baseball, so I follow him. And like Andy just made fun of me.
The Northeastern feed will be just your tweets, though.
That's
right?
Just us.
No, Rich.
It's just us.
Rich and Paul going back and forth. Yeah.
Rich doesn't even not spell
it's just
Twitter.
One conversation. You know how it puts a little blue line?
Right.
It's like 6,000 back and forth. He's getting
You're
mad.
Not fun. You're not fun.
Block him, Paul.
I follow the Northeastern people that I need to follow. That's about it.
Some that he doesn't need to follow.
Is there like a fake Reggie Lewis count or something?
Not that I know of, but that would be kind
dead
of,
Reggie Lewis.
Yeah, that would be.
Well, that'd be the real one.
Oh, see now. Let's
it's
see.
Dead. It's a fact.
Okay.
Yeah, it's run by Jimmy Myers. All right.
I don't really get that.
Paul knows who he is.
The Guardian at the Gate.
Right. Oh, I know who that is. He used to do the Celtics stuff, right? At, like during in-game stuff.
Yep. You're thinking of Willie May, though.
Oh,
Willie
Coach
May
Willie
is
May.
Still doing that. If you go to a Celtics game, he's down on the floor before the game. Like,
does he
doing
have his
the...
sweatsuit on?
Yeah, he still works for their marketing department, I guess, because he's
Coach Willie May.
Has kids out there shooting hoops and stuff.
Nicole Zalumis looking lovely as ever.
Let's see. Matt writes in, just watched the video, A Team Built on Adversity. So pumped for Sunday. I believe the Patriots can eliminate Hilton. His hands are questionable, and he has had multiple 20-yard games this season. Why not now? Eric, stop being a hater. Love the show.
Why is Eric a hater? What'd he do?
Who knows?
Well, I thought you might know.
You're predicting a loss?
No, I'm not.
Ken from Poughkeepsie, New York writes in.
Where's that?
In New York.
Because they're getting hammered.
Poughkeepsie?
5 feet of snow.
That's
in somewhere,
upstate,
northern,
right?
Western,
I believe
something.
That is correct.
Like avalanche type snow.
If the Colts win by whatever score it may be, how would they have done this? Would Brady have had a bad game? Would we turn the ball over too much?
Yes.
Would we miss opportunities? Basically, if the Colts are to win, how would they get this done, and how can we prevent it?
Well, I think Luck will throw for about 350, and the Patriots will have made some mistakes and turn the ball over, and you'll be kicking yourself.
If there's no turnovers in this game, my caveat.
Which is kind of a possibility because they're both pretty good.
I think that those things would have to come into play for the Patriots to lose. I still think the Patriots are better if there's no turnovers. You know, being at home, I think they have the edge with the rest.
But
I think there's a chance that the Colts are really fat and happy.
The Colts led the NFL in lack of giveaways, 14.
Yeah, only 14.
And the Patriots
turnovers.
Haven't really forced turnovers in the last month and a half, aside from the Baltimore game, which. Whether you forced them or not, whatever. So that's, I mean, there's a chance this could be sort of a tough turnover game for the Patriots.
You asked why people are mad at Eric. I guess when we leave and Rook takes over, like this black cloud comes over the studio,
is?
And it turns into like a negative 2 hours, I guess. Right?
No.
John in South Carolina says
it's John, wait a minute. You got to preface.
Hey,
John
is a bitch or a liar.
That wasn't very convincing. That wasn't very convincing.
That's what Jackson does.
No. John in South Carolina hates me to begin with. So anything, he's like TG and NJ. Anything I say, they're going to say, bad things because they just hate.
Well, were you guys talking about whether if you could consider this a successful season?
That was one of John's questions yesterday.
And you said no.
Yes, I said no. That's correct.
Right. You don't think it can be a successful season unless they win the Super Bowl.
I don't think any team's season as a whole is successful unless you've won your championship. You can have minor successes along the way,
right.
Like meeting a goal, winning your division, or a rookie develops. Those are minor successes along the way. But the season in total is a failure if you don't win the championship.
What about changing the word successful to like positive?
Again, you can have positives along the way, but the goal of every season, every team of every season of every sport is to win.
Yeah, I think.
And if you don't win, it's a failure.
I think,
what do you feel?
I think given what's happened so far, I think, it's been a good season.
See, yes. I take out what's happened. I think that if you get to your conference championship game, or you know, you get deep, you know, the second round of the playoffs,
that's good. Well, anyway, those are positive.
Anyway, John says
I think that's a successful year.
If the Patriots do not
win the title
every Super Bowl,
year.
Well, I don't.
It is not a successful season. He says this coming from a guy who expected the Patriots to have a 9-7 regular season.
Right.
So,
but I'm saying 31 teams are going to have failure seasons.
Right.
Somehow, only one team is going to be successful.
That's the word I think gets you in trouble. Successful, I agree with that end. The ultimate success is winning. But I don't think it's a failure if you don't win. There's where I would differentiate. It's not a success, but using that word failure
fine.
Is...
Fine. It's not a... All right, I'll give you that.
Failure was the Atlanta Falcons. They came in with Super Bowl hopes, and they failed miserably.
The Texans, too.
The Patriots are not a failure. A lot of teams are not a failure.
Okay, I'll give
you that. The Colts aren't a failure if it ends here.
I'll give you that. Maybe that's too harsh. But it's not a success unless you've won
success
the championship.
Success is a championship.
You can have positives along the way.
Yes.
Like I said, winning your division, making it to a certain round of the playoffs.
Right, but...
I think the overall season is not a failure.
Failure is the word that gets you.
It's not necessarily
in trouble,
a failure.
The negative.
Right.
It's not a success, though.
You know, teams set up goals, you know, you rush for 150 yards. Well, if I rush for 140, I probably had a pretty good game. I didn't reach the goal. Wasn't the ultimate success, but it wasn't a failure.
Failure is
I rush for 22.
You're not going to call your kid a failure because he didn't get straight A's and wasn't valedictorian of his class.
Hey, don't tell me what I'm going
to
be doing to my
Brown
kid.
University. You know, it's not necessarily a failure.
I had to go to BU.
Right.
That was a failure.
He says it next to someone who went to BU.
See.
And laments it every day of his life. I mean, what are
that
you going to do?
That was not a failure, Eric.
It wasn't a failure.
To me, it was.
I can't get it.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Food's here.
But it wasn't a failure. A
lot more emails.
You got to call. Failure was your grease monkey who never went to any college. And
we'll argue success. Well, there's plenty of good mechanics out there. What's wrong with that?
The world needs ditch diggers too, Andy.
All right. We'll be right back.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha-ha!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team. From Foxborough all the way to Miami, Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place, Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that do not disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by Metabank, member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1/18/14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Colts go to New England after they have that unbelievable comeback to beat Kansas City, and there's Tom Brady and Bill Belichick staring them in the face. Just how much more difficult is it as a coach taking your team to New England to play?
I think it's a lot more difficult because of the history they have there, and they're so good in the elements, particularly number 12. Brady is not fazed by snow, sleet, rain, name it. It gets loud up there, too. They have a great tradition there of winning. Brady's usually at his best at home. But I just have a feeling about Andrew Luck. I think this is a team of destiny in the AFC. What Andrew Luck did last week against the Kansas City Chiefs will go down in history is one of the great performances ever. And I think Indianapolis is going to go there and shock New England.
All right, that was John Gruden.
Dead to you, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's
kind
okay.
of a lame thing, though, for a coach to say. Indianapolis, I just think they're a team of destiny. Yeah. You know, Mr. Right. Breaking down film in my little strip mall in Florida now believes matchups are irrelevant, all that. Right. It's just a team of destiny.
Yeah.
I mean, could you be any more cliche and do any less work, John?
Did he do one of his quarterback things with Andrew Luck coming out of school?
Oh,
so
yeah.
Now he likes him a little bit
more. He doesn't with everybody, though. Yeah. I mean, he didn't do one with Brady because he was coaching.
Speaking of Gruden, what's all this thing with Jay Gruden? I mean, Everybody.
He has a bee in his bonnet about everybody the
Bengals seems to be interviewing this guy. And what's he done?
What's he done?
What's he done to deserve all this other than his brother is John Gruden?
Well, I mean, you could argue that if you think Andrew Dalton sucks, that he's made a competitive quarterback out of a sucky one.
I could also argue that maybe he didn't do enough with the guy.
You certainly could.
You know?
You certainly could.
So, I don't know.
How can you turn yourself away from a guy who put up 33 total points in three playoff games as an offensive coordinator?
Exactly. So I don't know. I don't know what the fascination
is. He was very successful.
He must interview very well because, or not very well, because I tallied it up since between 2012 and 2013 and now, he's talked to 12 owners or GMs about being their head coach.
Where did you get that from?
I went back and looked at all the times that he was mentioned being interviewed by a team. It's 12, total of 12.
Boy, that just started to worry me about that thing tomorrow night in the show.
Yeah.
I just assumed that was out there.
I did, too.
You know, kind of the stuff that you and I throw out there. And then, like the McCoy thing with you. And as soon as you said you were going to use it, let's do some research on this and make sure.
Yeah.
Or like yesterday when we were arguing about the Manning Brady or Luck and I was going to say I was just going to lie and say, well, it is a fact that the Patriots Manning Colts Brady playoff games are the three most highly rated games in the last 10 years. I was just
And I told him I was going to count it with the Luck comeback was the highest rated wild card game of all time.
As long as you include the 2-year-olds that were watching.
I would include everybody.
Eric has left, I guess, so we can't continue our negative fail versus success.
And what I was going to say was, going to BU was not a failure.
No.
His sex life is a failure. He's going to be mad at me.
But Juve writes
I'm not a big fan of that. Just before you move on from the next topic.
Second place is first loser.
Yeah, listen, I understand that teams like the Patriots expect to contend for a title every year. But they do. I just think it's so hard to win. It's like, you know, Dan Marino's a failure. I'd never bought that. It never, you know, John Elway used to get criticized for it all the time until he finally won at the end of his career. I never bought that, and I don't buy it now with the Patriots. Just because they won three titles doesn't mean they should win it every single time.
Right.
They're relevant every year. That, to me, is a success. That's your goal.
Right.
Do I have a shot? My goal is to have a shot every year, and they do.
I mean, I get what Eric is saying about, yes, the ultimate goal of every team at the beginning of the year is to win this championship. But I think that, and you can say that that is what success equals in the NFL, but it doesn't mean that you failed if you don't. I think it's that simple.
That is the failure is the word that gets him in trouble. I mean, when you come up short, doesn't mean it was a failure.
Right.
I mean, you didn't achieve the ultimate goal or you didn't go as far as you could have, but it's not a failure.
Yeah.
I mean, if the Jaguars go to the Super Bowl next year, is that a failure if they lose? They come off being an absolute poop bum team, as Paul Perillo would say, and they go to the Super Bowl. That's a failure.
And the thing that really kind of gets me about, you know, going to BU is a failure as opposed to going to Brown. Boy, you know, there are thousands, if not millions, of kids that tried to get into a college at the level of BU and couldn't. Whether it's because of financial or grades or whatever other factor, couldn't get into BU. How do they feel? I mean, so.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
You know,
maybe I'm not as much of a failure as I thought.
You're not. And
no, you are.
You know.
No, I'm just kidding. You're absolutely right.
It's kind of insulting to a lot of people.
Well, you know, without spinning this into a half hour of an Eric bashing session, isn't that kind of what he does? That's kind of why people get upset.
Yeah. I mean, it
because
might be okay
condescending
for you,
ways.
But it wasn't, you know, and even if you think that, don't say it.
Yeah, and my thing with BU, you know that is all tongue-in-cheek.
Right.
I have no problem with the education I got at BU
and
everything
like
that.
And any school is really what you put into it.
Right.
You know?
Right. I mean, I had different options. I chose. I wanted, you know me, I'm a homebody. I wanted to stay close to home. That's why I went to BU.
You should be proud. You're in the Hall of Fame there, Paul. And I'm not saying that sarcastically.
Again, it's baseball.
Well, whatever.
BU baseball.
How do I get
I'm not in any
today?
Hall of Fame.
There is no tickets. There's no entrance.
Now,
there's no building.
Where would I park?
It's a virtual Hall of Fame.
I can show you the little crystal thing they gave me. That's about all
you
I
have
got.
To reserve in advance in order
this
to.
This is in the coach's basement.
But in all seriousness, you
30 packs.
You made something out of your 4 years at BU, which you should be proud of. And any school you go to, you can make something out of it if you choose to.
Yes, that is true.
You know,
and any school you go to, you could waste it if you
you know you could
to.
Go to the big dance at your college and pee in the lobby of a hotel like they do at Tufts.
You could, you know, move the desks for English class and roll out a wrestling mat.
Well, okay. I don't know where that happened, but okay. Juve says, I've stopped listening to the playbook because of all the negativity. I did email the show yesterday and expressed how I basically don't want to spend my time listening online to negativity. There's enough of that in our world today. I would rather spend my time listening to your show, and I'm not kissing up, just being honest. I'm sure a lot of the other listeners feel the same way. You guys do a great job of mixing up seriousness and the fun stuff. Andy and Boobs, I too love boobs. I always look forward to when you are on and actually make my lunch a few minutes early so I don't miss any of the show. Maybe I have a problem, but yep. I just love your show. Keep up the great work, friend. I'm like you, a homer, but a poor one. Oh, well, we're both poor.
Now you're just lying to listeners.
I'm not lying. I'm so poor I can't pay attention.
When he's driving his Lexus home to go swimming in the in-ground pool with the Bose speakers blaring music outside. The man is a walking elitist.
Yes, Kevin.
I was going to say, while cleaning your teeth, too.
I don't know what that has to do.
When you remember that episode?
People clean their teeth? What?
They don't, actually. Have you ever seen all those studies that socioeconomic and
well,
teeth?
Well, they don't have dental insurance.
Right. Well, that is part of the problem. Yeah. Or they don't have toothbrushes. They live on, you know, the streets.
Right.
When you floss your teeth, does it, like, taste yucky?
Yeah, sometimes. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Is that because you're, like, pulling dirty stuff out of your teeth?
Yeah, old bacteria-infested.
It's yucky.
Yucking stuff.
Yeah, I don't. The you can smell it kind of, too. Like
sometimes,
that's
yeah.
gross.
Yeah. Ugh. It really is. That's why you need to floss.
I've been flossing a lot more.
Have you?
Yeah. And I've noticed a difference because they always used to say, oh, so you're not flossing enough because it would get bloody when they would do it at
right.
the dentist.
Right.
And now that doesn't really
that's
happen
good.
As much.
Good, Andy. Good hygiene is the key to success.
And now my kids are flossing. They think it's the funniest thing. They don't really, probably not really right. successful with anything, but
that's okay.
They use those little picks.
Yeah.
Yeah. My kids do too.
I'm not sure they're actually achieving.
Yeah.
You know. It's better than nothing, I guess you would say. But
you mean you're not sure that your kids are doing the right way?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, I doubt very much they're going, you know, between every tooth and really doing it. But
I thought you meant you didn't think the picks were working. I was like, they work fine.
Oh, yeah. I do it the old fashioned way. And sometimes I pull to you, your fingers turn blue.
Oh, yeah. So you can pull it too tight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. All right. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. 508-298-0398 or 855-PASS-500. First up is Olivier in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
I've been reading a lot of articles on the game coming up, and a lot of people say that you know, the secondary of the Colts is pretty short in terms of size, but you know, we don't really know who is going to be our vertical threat for this game. Do we think it's going to be Tompkins, or do we think we're going to pick someone from the streets and try to use them in combating their secondary? Because I'm thinking, should we win this week? And I hope we do. How are we going to address the you know, the other team that probably have you know, a larger size you know, secondary folks, and therefore we need to have I guess taller yeah. individuals to get the ball in the red zone.
I mean, as far as you know, what happens after this game, I've decided I'm not looking past this game because
yeah, I agree.
It's you know, look, I know I'm the homer, but I really do think, you know, Denver's going to win. I think it's going to be real tough to win in Denver. I you know, I just do. And then if they get by them, I think it's going to be even tougher to beat either Seattle or San Francisco, who I think should emerge from the NFC. So I just want to worry about this game right now. You know,
and if we win, enjoy it, because afterwards it's going to be challenging.
Absolutely. It's going to be real tough. And I think, you know, we said, what will this one be like, you know, of the others if they do win? And I think it has to be 0-1, because in 0-1, we really didn't expect it. You know, it was every win was a gift, you know, that you really kind of savored. And I think you have to do the same thing this year. You know, instead of expecting to win, savor the win.
Appreciate it. I agree.
Yeah, I think so. And I think if they end up going all the way and winning it, it'll be like that 0-1. You know, it's not their first. That's always special. But in terms of, wow, I can't believe they did it, it'll be like that 0-1.
I don't even think we could. We should even contemplate even getting to New York right now.
I don't think so either.
Yeah,
It's really every game is going to be a monumental struggle.
Yes, you know, I agree.
Okay.
All right, guys. Hey, by the way, Andy, do you think that because you have a Bose speaker, you're rich? I don't get that.
No. It was just an example of everything is the best with him, and Andy's the perception is that Bose is the best. I know it's not actually the best, but the common public sees Bose as sort of an elitist audio company.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that it's nice when you have a problem with that product, you call and someone picks up the phone, speaks English to you, and tries to help you. That's amazing. that's why I love that brand.
Well, good to know.
And it's right here in Framingham, Massachusetts. Awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, Bose.
All right. Thanks,
see
Olivier.
You see you tomorrow.
All right.
I just tweeted it out, but I just got reminded by Showtime. There is a 60-minute sports profile of Vince Wilfork tonight on Showtime, and I just tweeted out. They sent out a little teaser clip of it.
I think the actual profile is about 20 minutes. It's like 60 minutes where there's different segments within the show.
Yeah. And it's on tonight, 10 p.m., I believe. They sent out a little clip of it, and they have a quote from Robert after the injury. Robert says, I remember going into the locker room at the end of the game and going over to him, giving him a hug and a kiss, and he said, sorry, boss man, I'm sorry I let you down.
Right.
About the injury. And Robert has other quotes in there about, you know, how he's the heart and soul of the team and leader and, you know, all the various things. Special.
Yeah.
Bianca's also in it. Vince talks about, remember when he used to say, I'm not a dirty player? Well, he kind of admits he was a dirty player and had to change some things about 4 or 5 years ago. And she, not surprisingly, she also laid down the law because I think she was getting pissed about fines.
His wife?
And losing
really?
Money.
Yeah.
So they changed some things. But it looks like it's a good take. Your girl's doing it.
Who's that?
Bah!
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She used to be bah. She's now blah.
That's Pam Oliver, if you're wondering what bah and blah means.
Yeah.
Blah good, blah bad.
Let's go to Larry in Miami. Hey, Larry.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Nothing.
I hear you for the holidays. Happy holidays.
You too. Yep. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Merry Kwanzaa.
First thing I want to say is shame on Cabell. Shame on him for blacking out the Colts game. Shame on him because I was like, to see that comeback, well, I didn't get to see. I had to look on SportsCenter to hear of the comeback. But shame on him for that. And secondly, it's like, I know the Colts have a bad Russian defense. I think we should emphasize Ridley in this game because I don't know. Blunt will have, I don't know if Blunt's going to have a good game, but, you know, I want to see Ridley.
I like Ridley too, but I just know that in some form or fashion, they need to run the ball effectively this game. It has to be something that the Colts need to respect and play for, you know, otherwise it's going to be a long day. I think you got to run the ball.
Yeah.
Whether it's Ridley or Blunt, I don't care.
The game did not get blacked out. The Colts game.
Well, I'm going to see it.
Where were you? You could see it anywhere.
I'm in Miami.
Cuba?
It was on national TV.
It was on NBC.
Yeah.
It was blacked out in our area.
It wasn't blacked
out. No.
It wouldn't be blacked out in Miami. You know, the only place that it was subject to a blackout was Indianapolis, and it didn't because corporate partners bought it
up.
The game did not get blacked out.
Even if they didn't sell out, you still would have been able to see
it. You would
have
seen
it
no matter what in Miami.
You sure you were checking the right time?
No, you must have looked at the wrong channel. It was on NBC.
NBC.
Not CBS.
Oh, yeah. I believe. Maybe. But I feel that they shouldn't do that. They shouldn't be blacking out playoff games, regardless.
Well, they you're right. These guys agree. They shouldn't. It's a dumb rule. It's an old rule.
I do agree with the rule doesn't need to be there anymore.
All right, Larry.
Yeah. All right,
thanks,
guys. Larry.
Stay warm in Miami. Okay.
Reports out of the locker room. Aaron Dobson walked through wearing a walking boot.
Okay. Melvin's in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
They wanted everybody to see him in a walking boot.
What do you got?
No, Mark. I have to see, basically, thinking about the game, of course, the mobility issue could be a concern. That's a quick question, and I'll go ahead and get off. But which one of your linebackers would you use to be, you know, running some spies and watching Andrew Luck, and who would you prefer you not to see? I was thinking you could see more Ninkovich and Collins, and who I would not want to see out there is, you know, Hightower, you know, getting out of lanes, kind of like you did with Cam Newton, let him get, you know, 20-something yard game, but Who would you want to see? Who would you not want to see?
It's a good question, Lovin. Thanks. You know, it's interesting because, Andy, you mentioned yesterday Ninkovic was asked about his mobility in a little bit of a surprising answer.
Kind of seemed to talk about they want to get after him because he's not a guy that's running. He basically, and I saw something, he talked about it again at the podium, but he's basically saying, you know, if you really give it to him, kind of your thing, you know, if he sees 18 yards, he's going to take 18 yards. But most often he's more Roethlisberger where he's running to throw, to keep the play alive and then to throw. So
right.
They do want to pressure him some, which I think is
right.
Interesting.
So in that case, you know, if he's a guy that doesn't run to run, he runs to throw, maybe you don't need the spy. Where
right now you're wasting a spy kind of.
But you
yeah,
really
I don't think
need
a spy. On
but
him.
You really need Ninkovic and Jones not to get upfield,
not
too
to get
far.
Crazy, right.
Right?
To pressure him without getting totally out of whack,
right?
And then you know if you're in man coverage, you get worried that they run you off, and all of a sudden then he gets those big, and it's just too good to pass up. He has to run,
right?
But just in terms, if you were to do it, I mean, I think they're all sort of capable. I know we fear Hightower and the chasing. Fletcher is certainly
Fletcher,
capable.
He's got the speed.
I wouldn't want Fletcher doing it. I would want Collins doing it. I don't think Fletcher's very good at that stuff.
I'm not sold that I trust Collins doing it. I think they all have some of the characteristics, obviously, but I would like to see Collins do it before I just.
I think he's done
worried.
A good job of it. I think he's done a pretty good job of chasing backs and even some slot guys lately, late in the season. Mm-hmm.
See, I feel like I've seen him more getting in the way, like in zones and arms and kind of, you know, being athletic, dropping, drifting. I'm not quite as confident as Paul, I don't think, in terms of man-to-man chasing a guy and sticking
yeah,
with a
guy. I definitely agree with Andy on I don't think you need to spy. I think, I think that's a waste of a personnel.
Let's go to John in L.A. Hey, John.
Hey. I was thinking the other night during the Green Bay-San Francisco game how frustrated and adamant Bill Belichick is about do your job, because at the end of that game, just like what you guys are talking about now in terms of Ninko and Chandler Jones, just, you know, make sure somebody doesn't run around the end for 30 yards like Kaepernick was able to do the other night. Two huge plays.
Yep.
Not that he's, you know, prone to run as much or as athletic as Kaepernick, but still, I feel like if you can contain him and basically, like Fred, you said to me about just cover T.Y. Hilton and, you know, otherwise we'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's what everyone's saying.
I'm not quite all in on that.
I'm not.
Well, even though I think the Patriots are going to win.
Let's change it from cover T.Y. Hilton to don't let up the big play. Which has kind of been something.
I know, but
always...
if you do that at, you know, and now all of a sudden Fleener's making plays consistently down the middle for 25 yards down the seam or
it
whatever.
It doesn't have to be big plays. If they allow him, I think they got to get some heat on him. I think they got to make him uncomfortable. I don't think they can let him get in a groove because
that's
I think
I've
he showed
it.
You.
Uncomfortable because
yeah.
I think some of it is coverage-based. I think some of it is changing things up in the back end, man zone, as well as pressure in the traditional uncomfortable.
They had a lot of drives that went 80-plus yards the other day in that comeback, and it didn't – you know, the last one was a 64-yard touchdown, but most of the others
well,
weren't.
Well, let me ask you a question then. 20-3, the Patriots beat Manning that year here at Foxborough in the playoffs. And going into that game, you know, the Colts were doing pretty well offensively. The Patriots did it, not really by blitzing or anything like that, but they did it. They confused Manning. I think he had 4 interceptions that day, 5.
Yeah, I just think the weather was the number one but factor in that.
If Manning was a mobile quarterback, how different would that game have been? If he was a guy who could run like Luck, how different would it have been?
I think he had trouble throwing the ball, and I think that he would have had trouble throwing the ball whether he was mobile or not.
But it adds a layer
too, though. I mean, he was throwing with Law. Are you talking about with Law and
yeah.
Rodney switching positions?
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, I think that definitely confused him, and I think Andrew Luck is smart, but he's not Peyton smart yet.
Right.
So.
So, well, you know, it's going to be great.
But athleticism always adds a layer.
It does.
It always adds another option.
He might have been able to make a play when he got confused once with his
right.
feet. But I think he would have had trouble throwing the ball that day,
right.
no matter how athletic he was. He does not throw the ball well in bad weather.
Yeah. But I think,
well, especially the wind.
I think when you have to worry about a guy running for 20 yards, it changes how you defend him. It has to.
Yeah, but I don't think you have to worry about Luck doing that.
Really?
You don't really have to worry about it. He can do it.
He might do it once, but that's not something that would be – he's not Colin Kaepernick.
I know.
I agree with John.
Yeah.
I would have a whole different mindset if they were playing Kaepernick.
Or even
he's
Cam
not
gonna, Newton.
Kaepernick's not
going to
run for 20
often.
Yards. He's going to run for 80.
He and Cam Newton run the exact same 40 time, but that doesn't make them the same runners, the same quarterbacks, the same issues.
It's not his mentality.
And he's going to run for those back-breaking, like, third and long, and we've got everyone covered, and we almost sack him, and then he gets the first down.
But those are killers.
Kaepernick you're talking about. Yeah.
No,
not Luck.
I mean, no, I think Luck could do it, too.
Nah, I don't think that's what he wants to do. I don't think that's what he wants to do. He will run if he has
to. I'm saying that would be frustrating when he does it.
Sure.
Well, it's going to happen once or twice. I mean, it's just like it happened with that Shoemaker that they played in the last game of the year, Thad Lewis.
It would happen with Tom Brady.
It happened with Andy Dalton.
Other than 5'7", 40 time.
When the Patriots played the Bengals, Dalton did it. You know? He had a couple of those.
But I don't look at it as back-breaking plays. I think that once in a while you're going to give up a conversion because he has the ability to run.
Yeah,
But Kaepernick is going to hurt you with running.
A team like the Patriots that have trouble getting off on third down and then they play really well, but then the it's they're so demoralizing.
I'm going to ask a question right here.
Thanks, John.
Paul is very emphatic that, you know, the ticky-tacky calls, and it seems like the Patriots get a lot of, you know, third and incomplete, and then all of a sudden the backside, there's an and the talk is, well, you're not getting those as much, you know, they're letting it go. How big of an issue is that? Because this team doesn't have playmakers in the passing game. They really don't. So it's not like you're just going to avoid that by, you know, throwing a Gronk down the seam because he's going to win the matchup every time.
I think based on precedent for this season alone, the referees have inserted themselves as major factors in these games.
But are they going to
because
insert them
as a major
factor in
this? Because you don't
know
as a coach which way they're going to go. So going in, that's something you don't know. It's an unknown. Like, how are they going to call this game?
But see, you're kind of missing my point.
Andy's saying that they didn't do that. They put the flags away last week in those four games.
Right. But now, they haven't all, you know, it's
is
been,
that an adverse?
That's also what they did last year.
It's
they
been
put the flags away right, in the postseason last year as well. So people were wondering, is this what we're going to now see? A lot of flags, a lot of ticky-tack calls during the course of the regular season, but in the playoffs, you're going to really have to do some damage to get that same flag that you might have gotten in the regular
season.
And
usually that's the way it is.
And now Andy's asking, does that hurt the Patriots this particular year? Because instead of Welker and Gronkowski and Hernandez, it's basically Julian Edelman, and that's it. So if you rough him up, do they have a guy that can make a play despite being covered, despite getting roughed up?
Could that hurt this offense more than some or others?
Is that your point?
Yes.
There's no doubt it will hurt the passing offense, no doubt.
That's not good. Because I already have my doubts about the passing offense, and if you're telling me something else is going to hinder its production,
some interesting stuff
me.
Yesterday. I don't know if you were listening on the way home at the same time as me with Felger Maz, the guy who called in. The teams that play in the playoffs, the teams that are left, are among the least penalized teams in the league. There's something I think Seattle is the one of the most penalized, and there's another team that's among the most penalized. Denver, Seattle, and Denver are among the most penalized, but the rest are among the least. They're all in the top 10 of the least penalized. So you have to consider that the average penalties per game isn't relevant to these teams because their average is a lot lower than that.
Oh, yeah.
So the fact that the flags got put away last week is true, but also needs to be you have to take into consideration these are teams that commit less penalties than those other teams.
Oh, that whole Pat Kerwin thing was so flawed. I mean, if he doesn't take that into account, and also don't you have to take into account, as Bill tells us, the crews, the officials, who's working? If the NFL deems all the crews that didn't throw a lot of flags the best crews, then guess what? Your average in the postseason is going to be a lot less than the regular
and
season because you eliminated the high flag crews and the high flag refs.
Right.
It was a guy who called in yesterday to Felger and Maz that really broke a lot of that down with numbers. Now, it was very statistical based, and you know it was like 5 point this amount of penalties as opposed to 3 point this amount or whatever. You know, to me, it was minuscule differences. But I do think his larger point was, yes, they probably are a little bit more stringent. You know, there's a little bit more latitude given to the defensive backs in the postseason. You can see that. You can see some. There was definitely some pass interferences that didn't get called that probably would have in the regular season. But you're not taking into account all the different things that Andy just talked about. You know, the players that are involved, the teams that are not getting called, the officials that are not throwing the flags. It could be as simple as what Andy just said. If you were one of the crews that averaged 11 penalties a game, and this crew that worked this game only averaged 5 penalties a game, and then, oh, by the way, there was 5 penalties in that game, then really how much difference was there? When you have 16 games to choose from, of course you're going to get more pass interference calls.
Right.
Than four on a weekend in the playoffs with the best teams.
Right. Although I will say for us, anecdotally, is that a word?
Anecdotally. Yes.
I thought they allowed more physical play during the regular season as well. No. I mean during the regular season.
No, I did too. I knew where you were going with that. I agree with you.
But see, I think they did most of the year. I think they've gotten away from the really, really, for the most part, ticky-tack stuff.
I thought that they...
And in some games, really let them go at it.
Yeah, I thought...
I thought they did too.
I thought they were doing that early and maybe halfway... Then there were some other games that just went against that, and that's where I said, well, what are they doing?
The problem is you're never going to get total consistency. There's always a call. Like, the call on Josh Boyce against Cleveland is going to decided the game. Picking up the flag against Carolina on Kuechly, here for us, that affected the game. That's the one. That's not necessarily an indication of they let them play in the Carolina game and they would ticky-tack in the Cleveland game.
Yeah. Right.
Those are just bad calls.
Let's go to Brian in Brighton. Hey, Brian.
Hey, what's up, guys? I wanted to just add one extra thing in the playbook show yesterday that Eric was saying.
Yep.
He had this analogy about NFL players and how basically he said if something along the lines that if you're an NFL player and you don't think you're the best one out of all the people in your position, then you're a failure. And I just thought that was an interesting insight into how he probably looks at you guys on the PFW team.
Well, it could be. I mean, but, yeah, I think I think Eric's confusing with someone saying, yeah, I want to play, and I'm not happy when I'm not playing. Yeah, you want all your players to have that competitive juice in them, that you know they want to get out there, they want to play. But I think that's not the same as saying, well, I'm better than him.
Right.
You know, I don't think Ryan Mallett, as much as he wants to play, thinks he's better than Tom Brady.
But he's confident that he could succeed with Ryan Mallett's skills.
Right. So I think he's confusing it a little bit, you know.
And if you think you're better than everyone when you're really not, you're just a pompous a-hole.
Right. Now you're set yourself up for failure.
Right.
Because you're always going to be disappointed with somebody and you're going to make excuses.
Right.
Because you think you're better, but somehow it's not working out. Well, it can't be my fault because
I'm
better.
And you might be under the impression you don't need to do something extra that you really do.
Right.
You know, Matthew Slater is
very
good. But Matthew Slater knows who he is.
Right.
And you can be successful one way. If Matthew Slater thought he was, you know, Jerry Rice, he would not be who he is, which is a very good NFL special teamer, leader, a guy who Bill Belichick has praised recently as much as anyone he's ever praised at that position. And there's value in that. And there's, you know, he should be proud of that fact. But he's not a Hall of Famer. He's not his dad. He's
Bill
not
Parcells,
Jerry Rice.
He's always say the quickest way for a guy to shorten his career in this league is to think that there's something they're not.
Right.
And that's very common with that particular spot. Special teams guys can really carve a niche for themselves like Larry Izzo did and like, you know, guys like Gerard Cherry did and now Matthew Slater is.
Or you can carve a role on defense.
You go the Larry
Wiggum way.
But if
you think you only deserve to be on defense and you're above special teams, you carve a role on
nothing.
Unemployment line.
Right.
Larry Wiggum did.
There's, you know, Dane Fletcher or, you know, Rob Ninkovich, these guys that probably do think they deserve to play defense. Rob Ninkovich probably thinks, I'm a good player. I can play defensive end in this league. He may not think he's DeMarcus Ware, but he also knew he had to scrap and claw and do whatever was asked to get to where he wanted to go.
There's a difference between striving to be the best at what you do and thinking you are the best.
Right. Correct.
You know?
There's a fine line between confidence and cockiness.
That's right. Good. Good conversation.
Were we talking about NFL players or Eric?
Both. Maurice is in South Carolina. Hey, Maurice.
Hey, how's everybody going?
What's up, Mo?
Hey, I don't know if you can hear me. I'm on Interstate 7, but I got two things. I think we're going to win this weekend.
Okay.
The matchups I want to see, Alfonso Denari getting physical with T.Y. Hilton with 50 over the top, and I'd like to see Tlaib one-on-one with Corby Fleener the whole game. I think if Belichick has those matchups, I think we'll be fine. And secondly, before I get up the air, Josh Gordon, I know he's been in trouble a lot. He has, like, one more chance before he has a one-year suspension. But I think we may have to fight the Phillies and make a trade for him. I would trade Ryan Mallett and a mid-round pick for Josh Gordon if Cleveland would take it. I wanted to know your guys' opinion about it.
The Patriots would do it as well. The Browns would not.
I would do that, absolutely.
I mean, they wouldn't take less than a first-round pick for him, supposedly, at the deadline. What?
Oh, I think I thought he was done. I'm sorry, Maurice.
I mean, his value has only increased.
I always hang up on Maurice for some reason.
Not decreased.
Well, you do hang up on a lot of people.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you don't. You just let them ramble on and they hang out in the background and you're very inconsistent.
I thought he was done.
Well, he wasn't. But, yeah, there's no way in Hades. Well, you know, I shouldn't say that. It's Mike Lombardi. There's very little chance that the Browns would trade a mid-round pick and Ryan Mallett for.
I think we should try to trade him to Cincinnati now. Mallett.
Mallett?
Evidently.
That's true.
Evidently, they liked Mallett. So let's try to, you know.
A.J. Green?
Geno Atkins.
A.J. Green's kind of soft.
Chris with a T-I-A-N.
I would take A.J. Green
for
Ryan Mallett.
I would take him, too.
Hey, guys. I had a quick question about our tight ends and Indy's linebackers.
Sure.
And I was wondering if you think that there's any potential matchups that we could possibly exploit with Ho-Ho. And I really see Mulligan as more of a, you know, blocker. And I think Ho-Ho can really, you know, showing that he can get out there and catch some passes. Is that an area where you think we could, you know, maybe win a matchup or two?
No, not really.
Fred is shaking his head and blowing into
the
microphone.
I mean, I think you're going to get that one or two play where they pop open.
They might
it's
catch a
surprise.
Pass or two.
Right, but, yeah. I mean,
Jarrell Freeman
it's almost
good,
like,
actually.
To me, we don't have tight ends anymore.
We don't. I know. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
For something.
Yeah, that would be a complimentary aspect of the game plan, not like high on the list of things we're looking to do.
Yeah, and if you were going to look to exploit the linebackers, I would be more apt to try to do it with Vereen and see if you could pop him in space. But I actually think that they're reasonably good in that regard. But, you know, who knows?
Are they? Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, everything Kansas City did offensively was successful against them Saturday. If they play defensively the way they did against the Chiefs, the Patriots are going to score a lot of points because it doesn't matter how you are on offense. That was just bad defense the other day.
Yeah.
Crossing routes were coming wide open. They were running the ball with, you know, at over 5 yards a carry. You know, even the fourth down stop they got in the last play of the game, you know, was what a hair out of bounds. On fourth and 11, and they needed the penalty to get that. On that drive, they just had scored a touchdown to go ahead. First play, 25-yard pass. Next play was like a 15-yard pass, and all of a sudden they're in your territory, knocking on the door for a winning field goal. So there's nothing the Colts did well defensively the other day.
Yeah. And it was funny. There was a play where I think Smith had a guy down the sideline wide open, and I think it was in the fourth quarter. And I don't know if he had to shot him or the guy, but there was nobody within like 5 yards of him.
Right.
If he catches that, he probably scores.
Yeah, he underthrew it.
So it was crazy. Joe in Atlanta, can you bring home a loaf of bread because I pounded your mother?
Oh, wow. Wow. Chris.
I love how his whole, like, just voice changes.
Nowhere, right?
It just, like, escalates.
Wow. Out of nowhere. It was like, you know, dropping the mic.
Christian is the original mother.
Just a quick note. I don't know if you guys saw this, but apparently Bobby Petrino has been hired by Louisville to return.
I believe that is accurate.
Imagine that.
You can do anything in this world.
As long as you can win. As long as you can win.
He had a job before that. He was at Western Kentucky.
Oh, I know.
You know, it's not like he's missed a beat. He's had a job every year.
Well, he missed a beat. He went to Western Kentucky.
No, what I'm saying is he had an unbelievable scandal. At Arkansas, right?
She wasn't even that hot.
He ends up getting a job out of it. And now he's got another one.
And you know what?
It's not like he had to, like,
do penance
for 5 years.
In 3 years, he's playing, like, for a top, you know, key. It's not a BCS bowl, but if he's in the playoff, blah, 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 he'll move up to another.
He must be good at what he does.
Well, he was a very good coach at Louisville.
Yeah. And he's clearly a hideous human being in slimeball.
Which shows, you know, people like Eric, if you're good at what you do, you will be successful. If you're not, you won't be.
So, like Eric, what does that mean?
Well, I mean, if you want to judge success, you know.
Fred, I was watching SportsCenter last night. You know when they go behind the scenes to the producers and the production guys in the back when they're doing the top 10? So what do we got so far? And they're trying to get the hashtag.
Never seen it.
Well, last night they go, I forget the kid's name, but they were like, you know, Fred is here. Fred's an Emerson College guy. And it was John Buchagrass. So I think he's from Newton. He's like, that's in Boston. But he was talking about Emerson College. The guy was an Emerson guy.
There you go.
Working at SportsCenter.
We're all over the place.
Singlet.
Hashtag SSC top 10.
Go Lions.
Talking about floss, that's what Fred Singlet is now. Floss up his ass.
Well, it has to get stretched out so far. It's just a little piece of floss.
You ever wonder why, like, Andy...
That everybody hates Andy?
Andy really wants to see me in it.
There is no doubt that I want to see you in it.
You'd think it was like I was a woman. It was Victoria's Secret underwear.
Right.
You know?
I don't have any desire to see you in that thing.
This is a humorous thing.
Yeah. I'm not so sure about you. I'm a little bit concerned about you.
I don't know about you, Hendry.
Yeah. Yeah, you could crack under the pressure.
Under questioning.
Crack under what pressure?
In your pants.
leaky pipes.
Dave's in Connecticut. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Doing?
What's up, Dave?
Hey, left guys. Hey, guys. I know everybody's concerned about losing Brandon Spikes, and I love Spikes.
Not really.
I call him Bobby Boucher. Okay, I think he's probably one of the best run-stuffing linebackers in the game today. The way he just attacks that line of scrimmage and really cracks the back. But you know what? If there's one thing this team has been able to do all season long is overcome adversity, and it's just another thing here. I mean, you put Fletcher in there, but I'm looking more like moving Hightower into his position and have Hightower act as that, attack the line, linebacker there who's going to do the rush, the rush blitzes and stuff. I mean, here's a guy who's 270 pounds. And if he doesn't fit that bill, who does it on that team? Okay, and I also think with our running game, the way it's going now, the running game is going to help the defense. It really is. I mean, the Colts game is definitely a winnable game, and I know...
I agree. I think it's a winnable game, too. That's why they're two score
favorites.
Now,
Dave, with all due respect, you are the guy that thought the Patriots should get Sean Taylor, right?
Sean Taylor?
Yeah.
Was that him? I don't know if that was
him. Wasn't you? I thought it was.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think anybody, Dave, is too concerned about losing Brandon Spikes, especially in this game against the Colts team that doesn't run the ball all that much. And to be honest, John Gruden's little... prediction in the
team of destiny
in our lead in when we came back from break, his prediction aside, I'm not sure there are too many people that are overly worried about the Colts in general. This is a game.
Well, I am.
This is the game the Patriots
should
win.
You are a little bit.
I am.
I don't know
who's really worried about him.
Who?
No surprise, but no socks.
Yeah, he doesn't count. He's worried about every game.
Yeah.
But I
thanks, Dave.
I don't think this is going to be a blowout. I don't think that unless the Colts just have a meltdown and. We're just happy to be here, and we're going to hand you the game. And blah,
Chuck
blah, blah.
Pagano retired 5 years ago.
Which could happen. I think that, they could come out and turn the ball over two out of the first three possessions, and all of a sudden it's 17-21 nothing. This isn't Kansas City. That's game, set, match if that happens. But I expect it to be reasonably close, but I think the Patriots are going to get the lead early and make Indy have to play catch-up, and sooner or later that mistake will come. I think the Patriots will win the game, and I think most people feel that way. The way Dave talked, it's like this game could go either way. People are really worried about it. I don't know how we're going to overcome the loss of a run-stuffing linebacker against a team that doesn't run the ball. I'm not sure that there's people out there that are looking at the Colts game the way Dave just sort of described it.
Speaking of Joel from Atlanta, writes in, I'm going to agree with Eric about this season. If we don't win at all, that it's not a successful season. That's the Belichick way. Question, do you think...
See, I would disagree with that. I think if you ask Bill Belichick, he would be... He would look at his teams and he would say to himself, honestly and objectively, did my team get everything it had out of what we had? Did we leave an opportunity wasted?
Especially,
I'll bet you he thought that 2010 was a disappointment because they lost to a team at home that they had just beaten 45-3.
Especially for a coach who, preaches one game at a time. If you do that and every goal that was the next goal you knocked over, so you didn't get to the last one, you didn't knock that over, but every goal you asked your team to achieve up to that point, they achieved, how can you say it's a failure?
But I'm looking at it, I'm saying Bill knows his personnel better than anybody on the planet, right? He would look at it and say, did that team get everything out of what it had? We had all these problems. He's not going to talk about injuries now.
No.
He's not going to bring up Vince and Mayo. But if they lose Saturday, in a candid moment next Tuesday, he's going to be sitting with his staff and saying, listen, guys, this sucks right now, but let's just look at what we overcame.
Right.
And that's the way he'll look at it. He won't do it publicly.
Of course he will.
He might not do that publicly.
Right.
Maybe he will. I don't think he will.
No. But I agree 100%.
But when you're self-scouting and doing that whole process, he's going to look at it and say, provided that the Patriots don't melt down. And
right.
There's no reason to expect them to do that. But if the Patriots were to lose a game, say, 27-24, because Luck takes the ball in the last 3 minutes of the game and goes down the field and they score a touchdown in the last 30 seconds. No turnovers, no nothing to, just a good football game and Indianapolis happens to win it. No one's going to be happy about it. But you don't think he's going to look at it and say, geez, you know what?
Right. We fight to the end.
We just fought.
Yeah.
We fought, and at the end, right. It just wasn't enough. We just didn't have enough to do it.
Like I said the other day, if that documentary ever gets, made about his career, I think this will be a season, regardless of what happens, minus a meltdown, he'll look fondly upon this season.
I really believe that. Unless
I'm not even sure minus the meltdown either.
Yeah.
Well, I think.
I mean, if Brady melts down or something, okay, but
that's what I'm saying. If they had like four turnovers and they did a Baltimore,
but if
I think that would be disappointing.
If they just
play
take
their
away
best.
Edelman and there's really no one else open, and then Bill just says it caught up to us.
Right.
That's not because you didn't play your best. Right. I'm talking about you just sloppy. You fumble a snap and you turn the ball over. Maybe you know what I mean? That kind of a meltdown. But what you're describing, Andy, to me, that could happen in any
of these
games.
That's not a meltdown.
Cleveland.
But I mean, even
the
if
Cleveland
you go out
game.
And lose 28-7 because they take Edelman away and you don't get any plays.
If they had
lost the Cleveland game, right?
Now, everybody was disappointed and shocked because Cleveland's not very good.
Right.
But they didn't do anything to hand the game to Cleveland. Right. Cleveland just played well for 3.5 quarters. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That could happen in the playoffs. The other teams are good.
Right. They get paid, too.
I remember in 2008, the Castle year, they finished 11-5, and it was really disappointing that they didn't make the playoffs. Remember how beat up they were? Andy and I remember, I think you were with me, when we were talking to Vince and Ty Warren at the end of the last game, because remember, we kind of talked to them when we got back from Buffalo.
Yeah.
And I was like, how bummed out, we had nothing left. They were just saying we had absolutely nothing left. They were really banged up. The defense was just hanging by a thread. I think Ty said he didn't even know if he would have been able to play in the wild card game if they made it. That's kind of how I look at it. I don't think I look at that and say that's not a success.
Right.
Now, did you accomplish your ultimate goal? No. So if you want to look at black and white and be all analytical like Eric is, that's his viewpoint. That's fine.
I think it's analytical when you say that.
They didn't win the championship, and the Patriots have championship aspirations every year.
Right.
But do they? Because I thought fans were telling us at the beginning of the year, if Belichick and Brady go out and win it this year, stamp them as the best ever, no questions. Well, if they're expected to win it, then
do you want me to take that?
One or
do you want
the
me
other?
To take semantics to another level?
I'm guessing you're going
to. The Patriots absolutely, positively, in no uncertain terms, should be a multiple touchdown favorite if they have to go to Denver next week, because nobody thinks Denver should be able to beat San Diego this week.
Right.
Right?
Right.
We've gotten call after call after call telling us how San Diego is going to beat Denver, one of which said San Diego should be favored over Denver.
Right.
So I don't want to hear the parade if the Patriots happen to have. Now, obviously, I'm being sarcastic because I think it would be a monumental accomplishment to go to Denver and win.
Right.
But what I'm saying is I don't want to hear the parade for the Patriots if they happen to beat Denver next week.
Right.
Because you've been telling me all week how Denver sucks.
But, I mean, that's the logic they were using on Eric. You predicted him to go 9-7. If they go to the AFC title game and fall a little short in Denver, that's not a success.
Right.
You thought they were a 9-7 Joe average football team.
And he thought they would be 9-7 with a healthy football team.
Exactly.
Right.
That's Fred and I's
exactly,
old.
Exactly, Mike.
The argument that Fred and I
had. I don't think there's any other way to look at it.
Well, there is another way to look at it. He thought they were going to be 9-7 with a healthy team. And now he's not going to consider it a success unless they win the Super Bowl with, what, 4 or 5 of their top 15 or so players out? That don't make no sense.
Joel also says, question,
idiot.
Do you think the season where the Patriots were 16-0, was that a successful season? Me, Eric, and Belichick would say no. And Andy, don't forget to return your computer charger to Best Buy.
I think
wife already did, no problem.
Did you? Oh, yeah. Did you hear that guy who called in yesterday and told you not to worry about it?
Oh, no.
Who did that? Do you remember that, Fred?
Yeah, somebody said, don't tell Andy not to worry about returning.
That's not a problem. Just return it.
Just return it.
Not an issue.
Well, I did it.
They repackaged
some guy that does that.
Yeah. We talked about it on EEI, And one of the producers chimes in, don't worry about it. During one of the Super Bowl weeks, Fred Smirlis bought a DVD player, used it in his hotel room all week long watching movies, and then at the end of the week before he left, just returned it.
Okay.
I was like, well, that feels like stealing a little bit.
Well, that's like the women that wear the dresses and right, the tags inside.
Right.
Yeah. I was actually thinking, like, I'm talking about doing this, like, I feel uncomfortable about it. I'm talking about it on live radio. On but, yeah, no problem.
What were we saying before that?
I don't know.
You were going to say something. I forget.
I was going to say something. Yeah. I forget now.
All right.
Oh, the 18-0 season.
Oh, yeah. 16-0, was that a successful season?
That's an interesting one to me. I think it is because I think it's just so remarkable. They did something that no one else had ever done.
I'm going to say no.
But the one caveat to that is they got upset in the biggest game.
They were the best team in football.
And they were the better
team.
So they didn't maximize their team.
Yeah. Right.
No, they
didn't. And I can understand that if you look at it. But again,
that's a different.
There's a difference between saying it wasn't a success and it was a failure.
Right.
How can
you say it was a failure?
And that's the word that gets Eric in trouble is the failure part of it, not the it's not a success, but saying it's a flat out failure.
But that's a good one by the emailer because that is that's a tough one to juxtapose because they did something that was just so unbelievably hard to do to win 18 games in a row.
But ultimately, also, some of us were saying in like week two, this team could go 16-0. Like there was the belief that that was a 16-0 team. So therefore, they were the best team. They were the most dominant team. They didn't win it all. That is a failure.
Do you remember that when Andy said that early in the season, and I said we were actually had talked about it.
Now
and,
we didn't say it in the preseason like Gil Santos.
Oh no, I didn't. No,
I saw them coming out.
No,
from that point on,
I didn't. It didn't really strike me during the middle of the second quarter of the third preseason game in Carolina when they drove down the field for a touchdown. I'm not going to lie, it didn't strike me like it did Gil. But Andy and I very early in that season had talked about that. And then we came on the air, and Andy actually said, I think they could go undefeated. Paul and I would talk. And then anytime I said, I agree with Andy that they could go undefeated, they killed me. Oh, you're jumping on Andy's bandwagon. That was awesome the whole season. Sure enough, they go undefeated.
That was a failure, though.
Not a failure. Not a failure.
It felt like one.
Not a failure.
Felt like one.
You didn't finish the deal. You were the best team ever. You were the greatest. You were dominant, and you didn't finish it. Opposite to that is 2008. I think you can argue was a success. You brought in a backup quarterback. You made a run at the playoffs. You won games. You kept it together.
Yeah.
We've seen plenty of teams not keep it together.
Yeah.
Paul's going to be excited. They're building a statue of Ray Lewis, Paul, in Baltimore, right next to Johnny U.
Statue of Ray Lewis does nothing for me. He doesn't talk. You gotta listen to him.
Paul will be
that,
there.
There should be like a speaker
reverently.
Or something right. that like
you should walk
press
by
a button.
And, you should walk by and have
get away from me, pigeon.
Something.
Don't poop on me, pigeon.
They watched the Super Bowl from the same place I watched the Super Bowl from. Your couch.
Your couch.
Put the pants on the same way at a time.
Nick, now, does the statue have like a knife or something?
Oh, see now.
I was actually thinking about that when you were like, we should sign Ray Lewis. We lost Brandon Spice. We need a linebacker. And he comes in. You the guy Seymour told me call me a murderer. No, that was him.
Hey, Fred, you know how would
Hey, Fred.
You
no,
talking,
hey, yo.
You were talking about, and I don't know if we did this on the air, but it may have been one of our, Andy cubicle conversations, that if the Patriots got knocked out, who you would root for in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Remember we were talking about that?
Right.
And you were saying, like, would you root against Peyton Manning? And you said that you probably wouldn't. You have nothing against Peyton Manning. I think
I said I'd probably root for them because I'd want Welker to get a ring.
Yeah. That's the conversation.
Right.
If we lose to Indianapolis, who would you root for in that game?
Against San Diego and Denver?
No, Denver. Just if it were Denver.
Denver against.
Because I think that's really that whole Luck Brady thing this week, and then Luck Manning next week. If the Patriots got upset,
I'd probably root for the Colts for the upset. Just for the upset. For the
not,
theater. Yeah.
See, because you know that most New England fans would be all over the Colts, saying that they want them to win because they want Peyton to choke.
Oh.
Right. Most Patriots fans would be rooting against Peyton Manning. Right?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
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 But that's what I was at.
Well, yeah.
Where you fell. But you just for the theater of the upset.
No, but I'd be happy, and I would certainly be rooting for the Broncos in the Super Bowl against any of the NFC teams.
Simply out of Welker or
Welker.
Yeah, that was his point. I forgot about that part of it. That was the Welker point.
And by the way, if San Diego happens to advance, I'd like Danny Woodhead to get a ring.
I'll root for Philip Rivers big in the Super Bowl.
Automatic Hall of Famer, huh? According to Jerry Callahan?
Philip Rivers is a Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
No chance.
Yeah. He said automatic, like definitely already a Hall of Famer.
0.0 barring.
I'm not sure, like, I would go 0.0.
Barring like multiple titles over the next 5 years, he's got a 0% chance of going to the Hall of Fame.
They were arguing a little Hall of Fame stuff this morning. Somehow it turned into NFL and quarterbacks and Bledsoe and Rivers and blah, blah, blah.
That's fine.
What's Bledsoe's chances of going to the Hall of Fame?
Callahan said that Bledsoe was like a couple years away. If he had just played a couple more years, he would be
0.0, just like Philip Rivers.
That would really piss you off, though, if Rivers got in and Drew didn't.
No, I would actually get excited about the possibility that maybe Drew could make it someday, yeah, because to me, they're very comparable quarterbacks.
Yeah.
They're the Hall of Very Good. They're not a Hall of Fame.
Nick says, listening to yesterday's show, I had to email in. Paul is cracking me up. People are calling in talking about how the entire media hates the Patriots. And
they
Paul
do.
Is sitting there agreeing with them in the most mocking way. And nobody realizes he is making fun of them. Bravo, Paul. Bravo.
No, they do.
And by the way, you are lucky you aren't in the Midwest. On Monday, it was colder than it was at the South Pole.
Yeah, Andy, what was the temperature stat you had today?
All 50 states went below 32. Well, went to 32 or below yesterday, including Hawaii. Yes, all 50. I said
Alaska, so, even
Hawaii.
Got, oh, even Alaska.
That one, I think, made it.
Wow.
No, I just don't understand that. How is Hawaii that cold?
I'll tell you what I wouldn't understand if I were on vacation in Hawaii.
I'd be, son of a.
I'd be because I am dying to go to Hawaii. I've never been, and I really want to go. And that would be my luck. 32 degrees.
Can you imagine? Like, I didn't even know that was part of the possibility.
Yeah, I mean, even like Florida, they have those freezes and
yeah,
they have
Florida
to cover the oranges.
Is here. Hawaii is like.
I know.
Yeah, Hawaii and Florida, two entirely different animals.
Paul's right. That would just be a kick in the old.
Can
nuts.
You imagine if you were on vacation?
Ugh.
32.
I almost swore. Well, that's the day you go look at the volcanoes, you know?
Stay warm. Yeah. You know, put your hands up, you know, keep your hands warm around the fire.
But I mean, that's like my Super Bowl thing. Like, I go to the Super Bowl, part of what I want to do is be in the warm. And if I go to Hawaii and I have to wear pants.
Well, remember when we went to the Super Bowl in Arizona and it was like the coldest it had been there in 50 years?
Well, they had
and raining
was
and
it
pouring.
It was
the torrential.
The media party. Remember how cold it was at the media party?
The media party.
Right. No, it was the family party.
The family party was?
At that horse place.
Yeah, it was.
I thought they were at the same place.
It was the family party.
Yeah,
it was
the family party was the one that was uncomfortably cold.
Bit of a debacle.
Yeah, where they had the horses.
Sore subject, I think, too. So let's move on.
Well, why? It was cold. There's nothing they could do about the weather.
I don't know.
Yeah.
He makes these things. No, it was a sore subject.
Gant in
cold.
West Virginia. But he's,
Ronnie Gant?
He's saying this is to John.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not even going to.
Keep your negativity
in
the playbook.
It is all about what we were talking about, but he says, Dear John. So
maybe it's a Dear John letter.
Yeah,
it is. It's for John.
Don't make that face, Rook.
He's all dressed in black.
Let's see. Brian in Essex, Vermont.
In hockey.
When you look at the 2007 team and what they were doing and what they'd shown they were capable of, yes, 2007 was a failure, much like the Broncos season is a failure without a title this year. However, for a Patriots team.
Are the Broncos the best team in football?
I don't think so.
I don't think anybody.
Certainly nowhere near as dominant.
No.
Nowhere near.
Nobody thinks they're the best team in football.
However, well, I'm sure some people.
However, for a Patriots team that wasn't
not
competing for the
Peyton
highest
Manning.
Scoring offense or the stingiest defense, coupled with all their injuries, Super Bowl or bust is simply an unrealistic benchmark of success.
I agree.
I wonder if Eric thought this year was a failure before we even took the field, since he thought they'd go 9-7.
See, that's the part on Eric's argument that you have a hard time getting around. If you thought, like Fred says, if you thought they were going to go 9-7 when they were healthy, and they go 12-4 while suffering a substantial amount of injuries, how can you then deem it a failure or not a success if they don't win the Super Bowl? They've already exceeded your expectations. How can they exceed your expectations and yet not be successful?
We know that Eric looks at things different than most. Everything.
But that's, don't you look at every team and say, did that team get the most out of its ability?
Right.
And that's why I think you could make an argument. 07, they were the best team in football, and they didn't finish as
the
best team.
They always
in football.
Tell us, you know, whether you were in sports or in the classroom, at the end of the day.
We've been ripping you since you left.
Can you look at yourself in the mirror and say, I did everything I could to succeed?
Right.
I said we.
And if the answer to that is yes, then
That's it.
And that's actually the day I did EEI with Belichick when they asked him like a New Year's resolution. That's what he said, is for this team to put its best effort to reach its highest
take
whatever.
Take advantage of the opportunity.
Yeah, he didn't, I mean, he doesn't say, and now I know he wouldn't say to win the Super Bowl, but I actually don't even think he believes it. He believes maximize it, you know, do the best. We might lose. You know, the other team is better that day, whatever. And he talked a lot about that last week in terms of how close everything is. You know, it's not even about who's better. It's about matchups in that game. And it's about reaching your potential. Your potential may not be the best team in the league. It was in 07, and that's why that was an utter failure.
Right.
Not a failure.
Failure.
Not a failure. Just not a success.
Eric is right on that one, and I didn't even have his opinion yet. Failure. 07.
He
failure.
Thought, he thought that team was going. He thought that team was
that
going
team
4-12.
Was the best team in football. They dominated. They were the best team without question.
Oh, absolutely.
And they didn't win.
Yeah.
That is a failure.
Absolutely.
That is an epic failure.
We knew. After the third preseason
game. We already touched on that.
Okay.
The third preseason game in Carolina.
I knew.
10 plays, 72 yards.
A drive in a preseason game. It's so ridiculous.
And it went 4th and 4th down.
I'll never forget that day because we were doing the broadcast at the Super Bowl, and you know we had that table set up, and Gary Gradecki was the producer at the time, and he took some pictures. And the way we were sitting around, it looked like we were at some piano bar. And, you know, we should have been, like, smoking cigarettes with Gil holding court. There should have been, piano music in the background while Gil just kind of pontificated.
That was funny.
What do you got from the locker room, Eric?
Anything? Very busy day. Active. A lot of players. A lot of media still, as you saw in the presser. But a lot of players
available.
You told available.
Me there weren't a lot of media in the presser.
I mean, there wasn't like yesterday. I mean, there were a lot of empty chairs in the press conference today.
But still a lot of media.
Oh, yeah, more than a regular season week, but not compared to yesterday.
I think.
Because yesterday, when I went in the press conference, and they couldn't get a seat. And they booed me.
Yeah.
You couldn't get a seat. And today, there were plenty of seats.
Yeah, there were.
Good seats still available.
Yeah. Hey, but a lot of cameras, a lot of just out-of-towners.
Yeah. The girl with the tight ponytail that I kind of like.
Teresa from ESPN The Magazine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like her.
Yep. She's a nice girl.
I don't know her. I just kind of like
her. I don't even know who they're talking about.
She's got a look to her.
She's 5 years ago,
she always
I was
smiles.
Covering the
I've seen the women that you say have a look.
No, she's a nice
what
she's
does
a nice
that mean?
Girl.
It's a Judy Bate, what's
I,
Batista.
We don't have to name names.
Well, he likes Judy.
I know.
Yeah, that's out there.
That's out there. She's so nice. I don't know how you cannot.
Okay, so what else, Eric?
Busy. No, it was just a lot of players that were available. It's just so unusual because there's some
available and talking.
Yes, yeah. It's some of those. You know, sometimes after usually Wednesday of a NFL week is the busy day. The most reporters, the most players are
today's
out there.
Wednesday.
It's the first day. Well, yeah, but it's usually the day after it starts to slow down and whittle down, and there aren't as many players in the locker room because they've done most of that on Wednesday. There were more today, I think, than yesterday.
Well, they thought it was Wednesday.
Maybe they did, yeah. I don't know, but it was
anything
it was a
good come out of
day.
That? What do you got? What do you got? What do you got?
Man, nothing
good.
Nothing great, but I mean, for people who are, you're there to collect sound quotes, whatever. You had no reason to complain today. A lot of different players, offense, defense, special teams. You had guys at the podium.
Aaron must have been running around.
Not really.
No.
Not a whole lot of him, but no, it was a good day for the media in the locker room.
Okay, good.
That means it's a good day for the world.
Nick in Seattle writes in a little over-under. Amendola catches, 4.5.
Over.
I think it's got to be over this game.
Got to be.
I'll go under.
Luck interceptions, 1.
Push.
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 I'll give you a push. I like push.
Yeah.
Colts. He's pushing his luck. Oh!
Colts total rushing yards, 125.
Under.
And that's all. And he says, P.S., I smell a huge Vereen game.
I could smell a huge Vereen game.
I don't know why.
I don't know what that smells like. But
he was one of the players who spoke today.
Okay.
And Legarette.
How does groin look?
Wasn't paying attention to that. I'm not Paul, you know.
I'll let you know tomorrow.
Well, you're actually going to go to the locker room?
Probably not.
No.
we have a radio show tomorrow again.
Because it's Friday, but it's Thursday. And
right.
5 years
Friday,
ago,
we could go Friday, but there's no longer Friday because it's
Capello and I had a huge rant about the injury report too in the locker room.
I'm just the only one that doesn't care about the injury report and wishes that they
you don't care about anything.
I just wish they
you
would
don't
do
have strong
away
opinions
with
about
it.
Anything.
I just wish they would do away with it.
Yes, that's fine.
You're
but
if you're going to have it, do it consistently.
If you're going to
do it right.
Thank you.
I think that your rant is valid. It just doesn't bother me as much as it does you.
Well, that's why
I think
it's
you're
my
right.
Rant.
It makes no
that's
sense.
That's why you have rants that don't bother me.
Oh, absolutely. I have.
That's why this show works.
More so than most.
Because we generally have four different types of rants.
Right.
we do need simulcast because Fred, like, moving the screen, squinting, making weird brow raises.
See, Sam from Old Bridge says, I have a couple questions. Apparently, Josh McDaniels is the leading man for the Browns job. In all honesty, do you really think he's ready for another head coaching job?
Yes.
Yeah.
What makes you say that?
Well, why is he not ready?
I'm asking you. Why
I think he went into a situation that worked out differently.
Right.
Than what he expected. I think too much personnel was thrown on his plate, and it went downhill quickly from there with him and Brian Zanders, two young, inexperienced
guys
over
his head at the time.
Running the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he also learned maybe not to be such a douchebag to a lot of people
and I think if he
be
goes,
himself.
I think if
he's
he,
a good guy. He's not the douchebag people think he is, but there's a reason they think he's a douchebag.
And I think if he goes to the Browns, he's not going to be given the keys. And he's got a little bit of a supporter in Lombardi who can help him.
Keys. Yeah. Yeah. He's lucky if he gets half a key with all those people in the kitchen.
Yeah, just
that's one of the reasons why I wouldn't take the job if I were him. I like having a GM, a personnel guy. I don't like having five personnel guys that I'm going to be having to convince, answer to, bow to, whatever. Yeah. I don't think it's a great situation.
That might be,
I would not do it.
That might be why he's not going to take it.
Right. I would not if I were him, but I think he's ready. I think he's a pretty good coach.
And
I think it'll be a loss for this team if he leaves.
And he might. I think people
are
laughing at.
I don't.
You don't think
I think it'll be a loss for the Super Phoenix.
No, well, disrespect to him, but I think that they can be fine without him as long as Belichick is still here and Brady's still here.
Well, we've gone through a lot of offensive coordinators in this team.
And somebody's going to call the plays when Belichick is just focusing on the defense during the game because somebody needs to call those.
Brian Daboll.
Now, I think most people are assuming that he's
someone
gone.
Someone else will do that.
I don't assume that he's gone.
No, I don't assume that he's gone. It's a terrible job.
No, but I don't assume that he's gone anywhere this year. He might stay put.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think people are just assuming that he's going to take a job because there are so many jobs.
Yeah, that's the only one he's been tied to.
I think he will.
I've heard Minnesota.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
I think he will take the Cleveland job if offered. I just don't know if he's going to get it.
Really?
I wouldn't if I were him.
I wouldn't either.
Sam also says, lastly, how is leadership in
QBs? I need to know more information on the Haslam situation. Fred, don't cry. Don't cry.
He also says, how is leadership in QBs measured these days? Call me old-fashioned, but I do not see the Mannings, Breezes, and Bradys of the world flexing their muscles and kissing them like Kaepernick does, or showing the S on their jersey like Newton does, or the discount double check or title belt sign. It frustrates me when I hear experts call these QBs great leaders.
That's borderline.
Do you agree?
Well, that's borderline insane.
I think you could say legitimately that Aaron Rodgers is the leader of the Packers.
Yes.
And does a pretty good job of it.
Yes.
Regardless of his double check.
I don't like his comportment. I
you
think
don't
he's
like
a bit of a douche.
Right, but he's the leader of that
but
team.
But he's a leader.
Yeah.
Well, they're all a bit of a douche. I'll be honest. I think every quarterback that I can think of is a bit of a douche. Well, no. You know what? I have not seen douchiness from Luck yet. But every other quarterback I can think of.
It's
got to
be there, though, because no one's that good.
Russell Wilson, I might not see douchiness
Same
yet.
Thing. He's not that good either.
Right.
And I don't mean that good a player.
But
I mean,
all the others, I see douchiness at various points.
Breaking news, not really
breaking,
but it's timely. We're talking about McDaniels. Per Adam Schefter, Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels has withdrawn from consideration for Brown's head coaching job.
Translation, Fred?
See? I didn't get it.
He didn't get the job.
Right.
Bingo.
Or maybe he said, I walked into a boardroom with 20 different people who introduced themselves to me as having power in the organization. I didn't like it.
I'll guarantee you he did not get offered the job.
Well, but it is conceivable that he decided, like Andy said,
it may not be a Pioli-like.
It's not to me. It's conceivable,
right.
But in my
mind, why would you withdraw your name for the job until you have or haven't been offered it?
Maybe he has been offered it.
Because it was a circus. Yeah. You went in there, learned about the organization, and said, wait, he's the president, he's the GM, he's the owner who might go to jail. Who's this other guy that, oh, he's somewhere between the GM and the this, and I don't want
to
be part
you
of
have
this.
To, if you get a job interview, you have
he
to assume.
He didn't know that before he went into the interview.
He might not. Don't you have to assume if you get a job interview that you're a candidate for the job? You wouldn't get the interview if you weren't a candidate
that,
for a job.
Well, there's one flaw to that theory. It's called the Rooney Rule, but that's a separate topic.
I would assume.
I mean, just in general.
I assume that you're a candidate for the job. I assume he was a candidate for the job.
So if he
I'm
walks
also
in
assuming
and,
that he didn't get offered it.
But if he walks in and he sees a situation where, like, you know what? I came. I'm not really that interested in it. Why don't I just help them out too and say, you know what? Don't even bother thinking about me. Go and look for somebody else.
Hey, John, you got a headlight out.
Oh, you do. You're a padiddle.
There, is that better now?
He's got the diddle.
Oh, no, okay.
Oh, he just hadn't have one on.
Okay.
Oh, you got to turn them both on.
Oh, yeah. Separate switches.
Oh. John Rooks here. And once again, John, people just think the two of you are so negative.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
I got castigated yesterday.
I don't know what
somebody.
Goes on when I leave here, but I leave you two
better
alone.
Better than the other thing.
The truth. That's what goes on. The truth.
That's exactly right.
I leave the two of you alone, and this dark cloud.
So is this like, Dad scolding us?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
Yeah, but this is from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Exactly
over
the point.
Here, you know?
That's exactly the point, because you guys cheer, you know, and have the pom poms out. We got to go.
Whoa. Wow. Ooh. Andy, when was the last time we were
I'll tell you,
that's good to balance out my image.
I'm good
Ian
with
and
that.
I very happy with that turn of events.
That's
right
good
there.
For balancing out our images.
So all right. Speaking of which, I got to head to sunshine.com.
What are we talking about today? What do we get killed about?
The whole success versus failure thing.
Season's a failure if they don't win the Super Bowl.
If they don't win the Super Bowl, the season's not a success, or it is a failure.
Well, that was him.
No, and I think most people did pinpoint Eric on that.
They
one.
Did.
Yeah.
Okay, so don't drag me into this.
Yeah.
That was
but
him.
To be fair,
I do want to give Eric credit. This is
he can't even finish a Pepsi.
Is an Eric thing, because Eric said that his going to Boston University instead of Brown was a failure.
It was.
That's not a failure.
That's not a failure.
What about all the people that can't get in?
But he's consistent, even with himself.
Yes, okay,
calling
course.
Himself a failure. Right, like
I wouldn't look at that
Patriots
as a failure.
I wouldn't either. It's
more
not
often
a failure.
Than not, more often than not, I have failed. I readily admit that.
What did you make out of going
taking
to BU?
A sad turn.
You can turn going into BU a success.
I got very little out of BU.
Because of what? Your attitude.
Other than a couple
because
field goals.
Of BU.
No, not not
what you put into it.
I'm sure
bad attitude.
Part of it may have been my attitude at the time.
B.A. Scalavino
at the time.
Don't blame BU.
BU was a major problem too. I went to business school at BU, which first of all was a mistake because
I
learned
SMG?
Was yeah, SMG. Well, I've told you that. Yes, you did. I've told you that many times, Paul.
So yeah, he just
many
doesn't listen.
Times.
He's not a good guy.
I'm a very good listener.
You're either
just because I talk a lot doesn't mean I'm not a good listener.
I went. You know, you can specify major. You can be finance. You can be administration. There are various levels of, or you can just do general overall business administration.
You can have a concentration.
Right. Yeah. I didn't do the concentration. I just said I'm going to do the general business.
Yeah.
Business.
Booming.
You're either born a business person or you're not.
Okay.
So you don't need to go to business school to learn that. So that was a 4-year waste.
Yeah.
And my decision not to leave BU was also a failure because
well,
I should have left
there. How is that BU's fault, though?
It wasn't the right school for me.
But
so why was that their fault?
Why was that BU's
so the failure
fault?
Was in the selection of the school.
Yes.
Wait, can we get back to the you're either born
but
a business
Paul, you didn't like it. You didn't like it there
how
either.
You glossed over
all,
that part.
My whole thing with
you didn't
BU
learn business there?
No.
Is more tongue in cheek.
Didn't learn anything I didn't already know going in.
The school.
Well, no, you know what?
See, I learned a ton.
When it comes to business, Eric's on to something.
But I'm just an idiot. What, so
no,
people that have MBAs, that's a waste?
No, Paul.
Sometimes it is, yeah.
Okay.
It really is.
I'm not a business, as you guys know.
You need to know three
things.
I'll give you your business,
degree
right now. I'll give you your business degree right now. You need to be organized. You need to make decisions based on common sense, and you need to treat people the way they want to be treated. Business degree. Done.
Wow. All right.
And
you
didn't
have to pay
again,
for that.
Did you learn
now,
that in
again.
September of your freshman year?
No, I learned that. I knew that going in.
Oh, I forgot. You said
you didn't learn anything.
You
didn't know.
Now, again, if you want to be an accountant, you have to go to school and, you know, concentrate in finance. You can't just walk into the.
Yeah, but if you're a business guy and your accountant's screwing you, then how would you know if you don't know anything about accounting?
Is she hot?
What?
If my accountant's screwing me.
All right. Well, this is a good discussion, and I'm glad the show's.
We'll
I'm glad you guys
we'll
really elevated the level.
Yeah, we'll save it till next week.
That's awesome.
All right.
Oh, did you hear what he just said?
What it?
Save it for the
off season. He said we'll save it for next week, the off season.
And
these guys are negative.
Yeah,
seriously.
What is up with that?
Wow.
I'm not going to stand for that.
No,
that's just
no
garbage.
Chance. Well, you said
he's 12-4 ATS.
I see your true colors. All right, playbook is next.
All right then.
We got to go and do other stuff.
Fred Zeppelin
over
there.
Maddox.
Gonna make you sweat, gonna make you
cool. I like that, Fred Zeppelin.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.